comes a time when you get this habit of just like quoting stuff so that, yeah.
I used to stutter really bad.
Yeah.
And that's another thing that my mom brings up. She's like, I learned to beat it by talking hard.
Oh, with like a purpose.
Yeah.
She'll hear me out and won't easily be converted to my way of thinking. In fact, she'll often disagree. But at the end of it all, she will understand me.
Hello, everybody. How are you? Welcome to Ari... Oh, God, I'm bad at accents. How are you? Welcome to Ari Shaffir's Skeptic Tank. I'm Ari Shaffir. On today's episode, I've got my friend Brett Ernst, who's going to come and talk to me. We did a podcast from a resort in Cabo San Lucas, San something, Mexico. San Jose, maybe? I don't know. Anyway, you guys, what's happening? This is a, this is what I talked to Brett about. Brett's always been, how should I say this the nicest way? Well, first and foremost, everybody likes Brett Ernst at the Comedy Store. We're all friends with him. He just has a habit, being someone that we like, he has a habit of dominating conversation. He likes to argue to the point that it drives people away from conversations. So I wanted to do one with him about being a loudmouth. I thought, why not? Let's just talk about it. And I planned to do it while I was in Cabo. I knew he was going to be there, and he was, so we did it. It was pretty fun. I love doing them on location, you guys. They're great. Cabo is pretty cool. Only problem, okay, here's what they do. If you've ever been there, it is a completely Americanized town. Everything looks Cabo Wabo, which is like Sammy Hagar's bar, all of it. The Pink Kitty. It's just nightclubs. It's all the parts of America that relish party to your puke behavior. Like, let's get drunk. It's okay to get drunk. It's just like, I don't know. There was just nothing Mexican about it. Even my friend Juan Carlos said, I met him there. He was like, this cantina that they have, it's fucking made 6 years ago. It's in a cantina. It's just some sports bar. Some theme restaurant. Anyway. Whatever. But it was goddamn beautiful there. It really was great. The water is so fucking warm. Now, I heard if you go like 100 miles away, you can go to a really secluded beach that has like non-tourist prices. You know, you can get a lobster for $3. Just all that shit and be by yourself. This was not that. This was fun, but it was a lot of comics out in Cabo together. Got to hang out with Jeff Dye, which was cool. Hang out with Brett Ernst, which was cool. Florentine, Annie Letterman, Ben Glebe. We all ended up, Jade and Nick Rutherford, we all ended up the last night went skinny dipping in the fucking Pacific. It was so warm. At like 3 a.m., we went in there. Oh, it was so much fun. You could, even in the dark, you could see your feet under the water. If the water was chest high, you could see your feet in there. Question, was I scared about my dick being confused as bait and being bitten by fish? Answer, yes. I was. There was a few times when it got too much for me that I covered up my dick. Three times. Once, just randomly, and then two other times while I was pissing, I convinced myself in a drunken haze, yes, we did go drinking and diving, in a drunken haze that the piss in the ocean would attract sharks and water predators to my dick. They would see the dangling balls as like a lure or something and attack it. Did I think I'd be dragged under by my dick? I thought 50-50 chance. I thought either I'm going to get dragged under by my dick and drown to death, or my dick will snap off in a barracuda's mouth, leaving me to bleed in the water and leaving everyone else to scream. It was cool, man. The whole trip was cool. It was a good vacation because I just finished my storyteller shows. We recorded them, and they could not have gone better. They were so good. all the people that did them, Jeff Dye, Kumail, Big J, Rogan, bunch of, they were all prepared. There was like one, maybe two that were like, should have thought of that a little more. But man, it was great. What a fun night. The crowd was stoked. We had to get in. Comedy Central has this reservation system of just saying you can make a reservation and then hoping that a certain percentage of the people don't come. So last year, last time we did it in March, we took 400 reservations and I think like 85 people came to the first one and like, I don't know, came to the second one. Some people repeated, but this time a way higher percentage of people came. So we had to turn people away. It was really bad. We got in as many seats as we could. We went and grabbed extra seats from a business next door and we shoved in like 60, 70 extra seats. Next year, we're going to charge like $5 or $10 to ensure people get there. And maybe we'll just give it to the comics. It's probably a better idea anyway. So anyway, they'll be out in November. Really great ones. Really great ones. And I don't know which one's going to be first yet. I have an idea, but I'm not sure. But they're going to be great. We're also doing another live show. Comedy Central is sponsoring it. In New York at Santos Party House, November 8th. For the New York Comedy Festival. No idea who's going to be doing it yet, but maybe family will be the theme. And we're going to do that. Might be like the release party. I don't know, but it's part of the New York Comedy Festival. So, you guys, let's get into this. Oh, by the way, the Mexican candy. Took me a while to find gummy bears, but there's a few things that I really like. Sabritos are okay. That's pretty much just flavored peanuts. But the Milch Bar, not bad at all. Not bad at all. I don't know what was inside. Definitely cancerous-causing materials. But, man, it was good. By the way, this episode is brought to you by Squarespace. If you go to squarespace.com and enter the offer code STONE, that's the offer code they made for me for October, STONE. I think it should be STONED, but they either picked a word at random, like STONE, or they thought, oh, Ari's always stones, so let's use the word stone. But just so you know, Squarespace squares. It's stoned usually. I'm so stoned. I was so stoned. Let's get stoned. Even in future tense, it doesn't say let's stone ourselves or let's stone. It's stoned. But anyway, the squarespace.com/stone, STONE, for a 10% off. Squarespace, if you don't know, it's a way to make a new website, and it's constantly improving their platform. They have new features, new designs. They have award-winning like customer support 24/7. You can talk to a real person, and it starts at just $8 a month. So, and includes a free domain for a year. So, if you ever wanted to build a website, this is the way to do it, man. They're making new platforms all the time, so you can choose different styles to make your website. It's cool. So. Thank you, Squarespace, for your support of Ari Shaffir's Skeptic Tank. I appreciate it. And they can help you make like responsive sites that you can update your Twitter, Facebook, all that stuff from. And they have an e-commerce site so you can sell shit. So squarespace.com, offer code STONE, and you'll be helping support this podcast. Here's another thing I learned in Mexico. There is a theory going around that I never understood of the lazy Mexican. The Mexican is so lazy. And I never got it because the only Mexicans I saw, I mean, I didn't grow up with them in Maryland. We didn't have, we just had black and white. That's the only race I knew. That's the only race issues. And then you got to Los Angeles and they all call them Mexicans. I was like, oh, that's racist. It's Latinos. But it's not Latinos in Los Angeles. It's 95% Mexicans. That's why they call them that. And I kept hearing about this theory of Mexicans are lazy, but all I saw was them working 9 jobs. That's how I could get make that amazing racist thing where I picked them up and drove them to the INS. If you haven't seen that, Google it, YouTube it. But yeah, I always thought the opposite of lazy, that they're way more willing to work than I am. I'm a lazy person, way more willing to work than most people are. So where did it come from? Well, I was in Cabo San Lucas, Mexico this weekend, and I realized where it came from. I took a boat trip with Juan Carlos Alvarado, a poker player. We did a podcast together. I took a trip with him and his girlfriend Santa. Santa, by the way, Latvian. It's not a Mexican name.
And there was this boat driver who took us on this trip, me and him and his girlfriend and six New York girls. And they were like, by the way, the New York, these Mexicans, they were like, bro, these New York girls are also on the boat. They're so hot. And I was like, I'll be the fucking decider of what's hot. And he goes, no, they're hot. And I'm like, yeah, New York hot or legit hot? They're hot, bro. They were fucking New York hot, not legit hot. One was cute. Another one was okay, but chunky. Anyway, that's not the issue. The issue is the lazy Mexicans. So this boat driver that was taking us around, took us on a tour of the Cape. He had that fat Mexican face. He was brown. He was smiling. And I was like, oh, this is who they're talking about. He just makes like dumb, fun jokes. And this is what they're talking about. This looks like a lazy, hey, I don't want to do much. Fuck. You know you're bad at accents when they hurt your throat. And I looked around at all these Mexicans on the beach just doing nothing or selling drugs or selling fucking chinks. No, what's the word? For little things, knickknacks, tchotchkes. And I realized that where this theory comes from of the lazy Mexican is from resort towns. That's the only place that Americans go, border towns and resort towns. And in those towns where it's built for Americans to get drunk, for everyone to get drunk, it's the same as San Diego, dude. It's the same as Huntington Beach. You just get a bunch of people who are fucking lazy. They live for the wave. It's that aesthetic of like, yeah, bruh, surf's up, bruh. It's that. And that's where most Americans see Mexicans in Mexico, at these fucking resort towns where there's tons of money. Everybody that was selling little handmade Mexican art, every one of them, when you're like, no, I'm good. They're like, how about a ride, a taxi boat? And you're like, no, I'm good, man. And they're like, how about some drugs? You want some weed? And you're like, no, I got your shitbox weed. By the way, the weed is horrible there. Not Australia bad, but bad. Oh, and I'll be in Australia. October, I think 14th or 15th, I started the Comedy Store in Sydney till like the 20th. And then I go straight to Melbourne to the Comics Lounge, and I'm doing like the whole week there, Tuesday through Sunday. That's like the 24th, 25th, 26th, 27th. Maybe 23rd and 22nd. Everything's on my website. Sydney stuff is not up yet, but it should be up soon. I don't know why it's not up yet. So, come out. Just 2 weeks in Sydney, then I'm 2 weeks in Australia, then I'm back home. But, they all seem lazy, but that's just how the fucking Huntington Beach people are. They're just like, yeah, man, they just want to make enough money so they can afford a goddamn snow cone. And that's how they live their life. So we see those Mexicans, are like, oh, they're lazy. They're like, they ain't lazy. They're just beach bums. There's tons of American cash walking around. By the way, one of my favorite things to see was the Americans, the old Americans on the cruise ships come into. They had this market right behind our hotel, the Marina Fiesta. And this dude came in, and there was a pharmacy in the back, but I don't think it was one of those pharmacies. I think they just had like NyQuil and shit. And this guy's like, what kind of drugs do you have? And they're like, you know, all sorts. And it's like, I'm looking for, you know, stuff to make me feel better. They like weren't getting it. They're like, aspirin? He's like, well, sort of aspirin, but my headache is on my dick. Do you have any dick aspirin? He finally figured out he wanted Viagra, and they didn't have any. And he goes, well, will you get any back? But he spoke so slowly. He goes, when will you get more of this particular drug? Dude, if you speak slowly to a foreign person, you have to use smaller language, not slower language. You can't use words like particular. You go, I want more dick pill. Anyway, so that's my thought of fucking Mexicans. Because this guy that took us on the tour was smart. He was like, somebody asked him what's the difference between sea lions and seals. And he was like, well, it's mostly in the ear. You can tell the ear. It was raised instead of lowered. It has this smiling, fat, brown face. And I'm like, this guy looks like he's drunk all the time. Of course he's drunk all the time. He's got Americans paying him $12 a pop times 10 people to go take a quick tour and come back. It took fucking $7 and he makes $100 plus tips. This guy's having a great life. nothing costs that much there because it's Mexico, but they can charge that much because it's like little America. So they all just rake it in the cash. That's why there's a thousand. Everything's ruined. Everything, every place where you've seen like, oh, this is a magical location, it's ruined. Once you've heard about it, it's done. Not ruined. It was still fun to swim in the ocean and shit, but there's too many people around. And because of that, there's so many fucking hagglers offering you drugs nonstop. You want some weed, cocaine, cocaína? You want to take a trip to the moon? You laugh. Like, no, seriously, bro, I got drugs. I'm like, yeah, I got it. I'm not looking. Thank you. Your weed is garbage. Apparently, the other comic said the coke was good. Weed, not so much. And you couldn't find mushrooms at all. I did have one guy, that would have been the best. Mushrooms on the beach late at night. Fucking Australia, last chance for my for the year. All right, it's too cold in most places in America now. Anyway, I forgot what I was saying. You guys, how about we just start the show? Some quick dates: Sydney, Melbourne, I've said, San Francisco this week with Joey Diaz, the 10th, 11th, and 12th at Cobb's Comedy Club. Cobb's Comedy Club, 10th, 11th, 12th. Come on out. Giant smoke sessions outside after every show. Maybe not the first shows on Friday and Saturday, but probably the first shows too. Boston, Thanksgiving weekend, and Austin, Texas, November 17th-ish, right? Something in that range at Cap City Comedy Club. Austin, Texas. And that should be fun too. November, hold on, I got it. 13th, 14th, 15th, and 16th. Yay. All right, you guys, let's start the episode. So here we go. Ari Shaffir, Skeptic Tank, episode 135, 6. Man, I knew this. 135, Loudmouth with Brett Ernst. And I will have a special bonus episode where Brett and Jim Florentine and I walked home drunk from one of the shows the night after we recorded this, and we got into another discussion, and you can see towards the end of that one, I'll just throw it up as a bonus episode on Thursday. You can see in that discussion how bad he gets sometimes. It came out when he's drunk. He just talks at you. Man, you'll see it. But anyway, so here we go. Ari Shaffir, Skeptic, episode 135, Loudmouth with my friend, Mr. Brett Ernst.
U.S. inflation, I understand just a little.
No comprende, it's a riddle.
I'm on a Mexican radio. I'm on a Mexican radio.
I'm interested to see how these cigars will taste.
I'm on the Mexican radio.
I'm
on the Mexican whoa radio.
It goes as long as it goes. Do you know how to cut these things? These cigars? Okay. Brett Ernst and I got Cohiba cigars here.
That some guy stole. But
some
freshly,
guy stole. Hopefully,
they're freshly stolen.
The boon of Mexico.
The boon shaka. The monkey bones of Mexico.
Monkey bones. The guy with the wits. He got one of those so different names. He had that one finger that was
half. Well, he fought in the... are we on? Are we recording?
Yeah.
Yeah, he fought in the... I think he was a Bosnian. He was like one of those guys that was getting cleansed by Slobodan Milosevic.
Oh, wow. Really?
Yeah, he was
served. He was getting cleansed?
Yeah. Hey, just bite,
so you're gonna bite
bite
that?
The tip off. Yeah, just bite a little.
Is that a torpedo? Is that what it's called?
Mm-hmm. Just go like this. Look.
Uh-huh. You're making a biting motion.
Spin.
I'm having the most problems just getting out of the wrapper.
They don't taste Cuban, my friend.
They don't taste Cuban?
Hold on.
You're going to light it up? Yeah. How much did we pay for these? 40 for both? No, 40 for five?
Yeah, for five.
That's not a bad price if they're Cuban.
Well, they might be, you know?
Yeah.
Hold on.
You do that. Is it going to be hard with this outside?
Yeah, we might have to...
Don't you have a suck in on it or no?
Yeah. You just torch the front a little.
Okay. Last time I smoked a cigar, I think it was on a roof with Rogan in like Tempe or something. Oh, yeah, you got it all going. Nice.
It's pretty smooth.
It is?
Yeah, it might be real.
Maybe he stole it. Maybe it's not fake. Maybe he stole it. Yeah. I'm okay with stealing, especially if he was stealing from Mexico.
Hold on. Fucking win, man.
I gotta bite this. I'll pause it and we can start this. Nah, I'm just gonna keep it going.
Nice. Ugh. Just a little tip. You know how to do it, right?
Light it up just like all over. Okay.
Here, you want to torch the front a little?
You're never going to get this. Okay.
It's not a joint.
I rolled a joint with this Mexican dirt weed. I'll try it soon.
We're drinking Modelo beer. This is strong, man. This is what I miss about. I don't want to say, and I don't want to come off a certain way because you know.
Yeah. What?
This is what I miss. How do I say it? Because I'm very thankful where I'm at in my career. But remember, like when we were starting, we got to go on the road together. Like people would tour together. You got your friends with you. You yeah. know, once you have a certain level of success, you know, you're by yourself mostly.
Rafi May said it to me once. I was like 2 years in. He goes, "Oh, it's just fun now." I'm like, "What do you mean?" He goes, "It's just for fun. I mean, it's just all fun. There's nothing else but fun."
But like you know what I mean by that. I don't want to come off ungrateful or like a dick. But I'm just saying, like,
but like those times
on your way up, like you know, I used to do shows with Sebastian and Tripp and even you and
every night though.
Yeah,
every night. And now it's like you're on the road. Well,
even when we go to San Diego or Vegas, like I was doing that Young American tour with Byrne and Butch Bradley and Mike Young. It was just you just travel with your friends. Bert Kreischer, you know, it was a lot of fun. You know. Mm-hmm. And now that's why I like doing the festivals, man.
Yeah, because you get to see people.
Yeah, you get to hang out. Like, I haven't seen you in forever.
Mm-hmm.
How's New York treating you, by the way? You're having a problem with this cigar, aren't you?
Oh, yeah.
All right, what you got to do is turn your back to the wall.
Yeah.
And then as you light it, just turn the cigar. Turn your back, just into the corner so it lights. And just keep inhaling and then turn and turn. You'll get a nice flame. I know the wind wants to kick in. I got to tell you something, buddy. We scored 5 Cohiba, real Cohiba Cuban cigars for $40. And they're fresh. They're not dry. Now, you'll notice when...
And we bargained him, too?
Yeah, we did.
He
tried to give us 90. Yeah.
What did he want? What do you want at first?
He wanted 90. Actually, we got him for 30, 35. Got him for 35 because we gave him 20
pesos. It's so hard to quickly do the pesos math.
Yeah,
12.5. Hold on. Wait. 1/10.
You know.
Yeah, this is pretty good.
It's a real good cigar, man. Now, you can't get these in America. Because of the embargo. I mean,
why do we still have an embargo with Cuba?
I have no idea.
At this point, why do we have one?
I have no idea. Well, I meant, you know, the country was a son of a bitch. It's, you know, I know that living in South Florida, you know, the Cuban immigrants down there, look, let me tell you something. That's why all those fucking Silver Lake kids with the Che Guevara shirts on, they have no idea who the fuck that guy is.
No, I don't. I just like the look of it.
Well, the reality was if you wore that in Miami, they'd kill you.
No way.
Yes way.
You mean like if you wore the Jewish
frats
t-shirt
at
Maryland? Really?
Yeah, you'd definitely catch a beating.
Why? He was a bad man?
Yeah.
I thought he freed them.
Who, the Cubans?
Mm-hmm.
He was Castro's henchman.
Oh, so he didn't free anybody.
No, he batted people out. You remember...
So why were they into it then? Why were they into it?
Because they probably saw Motorcycle Diaries and they thought it was cool.
Oh, yeah. Motorcycle Diaries was cool. They just drove around helping people. Yeah. Oh, because they were in their younger years, they were cool. They were like, they wanted to help, right?
Well, yeah, they were like revolutionaries and stuff. And I think it was El Salvador, right?
El Salvador and Cuba, they like knew each other.
Yeah, but then Castro hired him.
Viva la revolución!
Then he came over there to work with Castro and
directly with them.
Yeah.
Oh.
But he killed a lot of people, man. A lot of the Cuban immigrants were political refugees of the Castro regime, communist.
I heard in that movie. What was that movie?
Scarface,
that they couldn't use Angel Salazar as much because Pacino pretty much took his Cuban accent. And so when Angel
But isn't
was
he Puerto Rican?
I don't know.
Fuck told you that. Angel's Puerto Rican.
Maybe he's just doing Cuban accent. Give me one of those Modelos.
Yeah,
this is nice. We're out here in fucking Cabo San Lucas.
We're at the marina.
Yeah. Looking at the marina. There's this big giant mountain on the side of it.
Drinking Modelo beer.
Drinking Modelo.
Like two gentlemen.
Like two fucking American gentlemen.
Drinking shitty beer and some fucking high class cigars.
You left it out here. You just chose not to use
No,
the
no,
fridge.
No. My refrigerator's broken.
Oh.
That's right. You heard that. We got a refrigerator in the suite.
In the suite.
So what do you want to talk about, guy? Catching up.
Well, we just talked for a while. Yeah. So you got married, huh?
Yeah. 2 weeks. A week? 10 days. It was Saturday. It was a week Saturday. So, yeah, 11 days ago.
She's okay with your life?
Yeah. 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 Well, we've been together for almost 4 years.
Whoa, that's so long. God, are you guys going to have, are you going to breed?
Not till later.
Not till later. That's
good.
Yeah,
I got some time.
There are some ugly girls at this resort.
Yep.
There are some. I mean, from really far away, they look like sevens. From far away. Is this the off season? Is that what it is?
I don't even know. I think it is season, isn't it?
I don't know. I thought that's why they had it now, because it was not the right season. I don't know what the right season is.
Dude, it is beautiful here, though, huh?
Yeah. That water was so nice when we dipped our feet in it before.
Yeah. It is. Cabo's beautiful, man. It's crazy how fucking beautiful it is.
Yeah. So I got this weed. So for, he came back. He was like, oh, you want, you asked him.
No, he goes, you smoke? You smoke? And oh, I know you do. I said, yeah. My boy does. So he says, oh, okay. And that's why I said, talk to him.
I was like, oh, yeah, you got some? And he's like, yeah, you can be in the store.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, did you Jew him down?
Yeah, of course I Jewed him down. The proper usage of the word there. That's proper usage of the verb Jew. Yeah, he wanted 400 pesos, which is like...
That's $40.
$40, yeah, 35,
for
something
what,
like that.
A quarter?
No. This was like 2 grams, 2.5, something like that. And I was like, no way, 20. I'll give you 200 pesos,
yeah,
which is like 18. Well, first I asked 100. He goes, what, are you kidding me? And I was like, no, I'm not kidding. I don't know what this is. I can barely smell through the plastic. You can't smell it. It looks brown. There's
it's
a giant
weed.
Stem. Man, I like smoking cigars once in a while.
These cigars were worth it, man.
Yeah.
There's no aftertaste. Fucking smooth.
Yeah.
Look at the burn, man. It's nice and
it's
tight.
It's even the whole way.
Yeah.
Is that what you look for in a cigar? Do you have
any
idea?
Yeah, that's how you know it's a good roll. And you know what makes Cohiba so unique is they're rolled on the hips of women.
Really?
Yeah, they roll the leaves on their legs. I don't know what these women look like.
Oh, right. Good point.
They could look like the girls at the pool.
You ever? Yeah. If you see my glass, you're like, ooh, ew, no. I have this theory that any girl on the phone who sounds like, ooh, she sounds hot, is disgusting.
I don't know.
She's just friendly voiced.
Yeah, I don't know.
And the reason they're friendly voiced is because they're ugly, and that's how you treat people like humans to get attention.
Well, how many times has that happened to you where you've actually called somebody, said you sound cute, you go to meet them, and you're like, ugh.
Zero.
Okay, so how do you base this theory?
Research. Bad research. not provable.
Typical comic research, uh-huh. Where you just...
Well, I think, based on what? Not even one time. Not even one time.
Just
based on my first thought. I'm going to stick with it.
I'm going to speak in an absolute, yeah, and then I'm going to convince everybody that this is true. That's comic reasoning and logic.
You've calmed down a lot in terms of, like, arguing and stuff.
Well, you know why? After a while, it doesn't get fun anymore. You know?
What do you mean? What do you mean?
It used to be fun, but then it's like, you know what really calmed it down was the
weed.
In my opinion, no.
I know. You've never smoked weed. That's so crazy.
The cell phone is that you can just Google shit.
Oh, so instead of having an argument, it's like,
you just
I heard.
End it.
You're like,
end
well,
it.
Let's find out right now.
Yeah, let's end it.
Yeah.
So we don't have to go in circles. And trust me, I've been vindicated more than once.
With the right stats?
Yes.
Yeah.
Now, you know, the two things I'm known for getting in your face, which never with you because we're both Cowboy fans.
All right.
Is
Emmitt Smith is the best quarterback of all time.
And
what about Barry Sanders? Okay, let me start with Barry Sanders.
No, listen, I say Walter Payton. I think he's the greatest running back of all time. Okay. Not Emmitt.
Not in terms of Super Bowl touchdowns scored. Certainly not.
Zero.
Yeah.
Fucking zilch.
He ties with us. Way to go, Walter Payton. Yeah. I'm not beating either one of us. Yeah, you start heavy with that, with sports talk.
Sports is pretty much my main thing.
But you go with everything. You broke up a Super Bowl party at Ren Aziz's house once.
No.
Yes.
No, I did, but that... No, I'm saying, but that was necessary.
What were you arguing about? Do you remember?
Yeah,
because I do. What?
The Irish slave trade.
Yep.
How are you going to deny it didn't happen? Don't deny it happened.
You were demanding that we all give it up for the fact that the Irish have had it harder than black people in this country.
That wasn't it. Don said it's not true. It wasn't as bad. And
Don Richardson?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And I said, yes, it was. It was even worse. They were treated less because they were worth less.
The Irish were worth less.
Yeah.
They didn't own them. They just didn't.
Right. And plus, they were Catholic, so the Protestants, the British fucking hated them.
At least we can convert the blacks.
Well, even the brothers, they were, I mean, it's sad to say, but an Irishman was more expendable. And there was a deep-rooted hate for them.
Really?
Yeah.
Whereas there was no hatred for black people, it was just
at the
property.
Time. No, it, well, it, the animosity comes after
when they got free.
After the Revolutionary War, because yeah. what happened was the Crown offered emancipation to anybody who fought for the colonies, and the Irish were like, "Fuck that! There's no way I'll ever fight for the British." And half of the brothers were like, "Hey, let's hedge our bets here."
Yeah.
And then when they lost, a lot of them were looked at as traitors.
The blacks.
But, yeah, but there's a thing you should
offer freedom.
I know, that's what I mean. I mean, traitor. Can't blame them.
How dare you not be loyal to the people who owned you?
There's a special that Glenn Beck did on the black founding forefathers that a lot of people don't even know about. Like the first black Speaker of the House was in the 1860.
Who was that?
I forget his name. But I'm saying there were congressmen, there were African Americans contribute heavily, very very heavily to the American independence, and also to where we're
glory.
At. Yeah, I mean, look, the black community at one point. I mean, you ever hear of Black Wall Street and the Harlem Renaissance, and you know, it's not
Wall Street,
Black Wall Street. It was in Arizona. They created this economic fucking I don't know what the word I'm looking for because I'm a little buzzed.
Juggernaut. Right. Oh,
no, no, off the beer too. I was drinking a few before you came here.
one, two, three, four.
Force, economic force for their community, which of course,
Black Wall Street.
Yeah, it's called Black Wall, and then it got burned down because the whites got pissed. The rednecks at the time. Well, they weren't really rednecks. They were upset, kind of like what they got mad at the Jews for because
been successful.
You're
separatists. We're separatists too. There's more than just that. Because in England, in Europe, we weren't that successful, but we were hated there too.
But my point is that history's history. So don't say it didn't happen because you never heard of it.
No, yeah, but you have this habit of wanting to of wanting to stick to a argument so hard and making people like either what do you want for them to agree with you or for them to fight against you? Like what were you looking for?
No, just
subconsciously, I guess.
It's annoying. And you can get that way too, but not as I mean, most people are. Rogan was like that too.
Rogan gets like that all the time. Yeah,
it's just a point that it becomes this thing where it's about the truth.
Yeah.
Like why what it used to annoy. It doesn't do it anymore. I don't really get annoyed anymore. When I was younger, I did. I gotta remember, I was in my.
Yeah. Like, you were different.
I was in my mid-20s.
Yeah.
You know what
Everybody,
I mean?
That's the last age where you're still a kid.
Yeah.
You're like on your own. You're an adult, but you're still.
You're still a jerk.
You haven't like I don't have to fight against everyone. You haven't calmed down yet.
But anyways, I'm saying I was still in my 20s.
But then. Did you ever see people like? Did you notice them like walk away from conversations and stuff?
Some did, some didn't.
Okay, but did you know? Like, how did you feel when they did it? If you're in a conversation with three people, four people, let's say, and you're spewing whatever it is,
and one of them walks away,
one of them's like, "I just like they don't make that noise."
I wouldn't
just
blame
go.
Them.
Yeah. I mean, looking back now,
I walk away too.
Yeah, but how did you feel?
But, like? But at the same token, there's two that are staying. Like Eric Marino was a lot of fun.
He'd keep arguing with you.
Rogan would keep arguing.
Yeah.
Rogan was good at that.
Yeah, we get to the point without cell phones, though, that it would just become angry because two people were like, well, I think it's this. And the other person was like, I think it's this.
It's never really anger, though. It's, you know, it's like, you know. It's
mad like when you're playing basketball and this guy keeps boxing you up and like beating you.
I even go different than that. It's more like arguing with your brother where you're like, the fuck are you talking? You know, it's just, it becomes, you don't like.
Frustrated,
like this,
not angry, frustrated.
You only argue with friends. Strangers, you don't argue. Because then you end up, you hit them.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? If it gets to a point where, like, somebody, it's only friends that you really have fun with that shit. And I'd say about 95% of the people that I did it with, you know, would come back and they'd start with me, too. I mean, they would pick fights with me for no fucking reason. Marino's the best at that.
At picking fights with you?
Yeah.
The best, we would come in sometimes, we'd start a conversation, then we realized who we were talking to. Like, oh, fuck.
And then walk away.
I'm like, what did I do? What did I do? I was like, you start about to talk about some quarterback was great, and you're like, oh, no. Who did I just say this to? I can't just have a casual conversation.
But again, like, you know, it's funny. Me and Joe and Dom Herrera, we went out to eat after because, you know, Joe is a mainstay.
Is it an Italian thing?
It could have been.
Maybe it's that.
But we went out to, like, we were in Pasadena at the Ice House, and then we went out afterwards, and we were talking, and Joe brought something up, and we were laughing about it, and I go, dude, do you realize I was 26 years old then? I'm 38. 30, you know what I mean?
It's a completely different person.
Of course.
It's a third of your life.
Of course.
He always holds his thing against Nick
Houston. And I wasn't in a good place.
Yeah, there's that too. It's like, well, you weren't using or anything, but like you were going through whatever you were going through.
Well, I mean, you had a big breakup. Big breakup.
That was a major
then
girlfriend.
My brother died.
Oh, and yeah. Then, and congratulations then
fucking, on that. Dude, that makes me laugh. Remember when Duncan would do a set and he'd say, my grandfather died, and you would start clapping?
I don't remember that, but I believe you. Like, all
yeah,
right.
Everybody was, I think you look around and everybody, and the whole audience would be looking at you like, what the fuck? You know
what I mean? Love fake clapping for somebody when
yeah,
like,
you're like,
just
yeah.
broke up. Yay.
Oh, congrats, it was so buddy. Brilliant, buddy. We had a lot of fun back then, though, man.
We ran the store.
Yeah, it was great.
We all ran it.
When Rogan was there, it was there was a moment when the Dublin's era and the comedy store was on the rise, and you know, because it was a lot of fun when Ren Azizi was working the fucking cover booth,
stealing hand over fist, just stealing.
We don't know that. We know.
Hey,
we know.
He's been on the record for it before. It's all right.
Well, whatever.
He ain't trying to hide it. Me and Sean Miller used to steal $5 cover charge on Sundays, and we use that for Doritos and ice cream.
Steve bought a house with the money from the fucking
yeah. He owns a condo now,
dude. That place, man. That's why you know. That's why I never made money, man. Between the waitresses and the cover guys.
Yeah, Harris, when Azizi, Freddie, everyone was just taken.
Fucking just.
They're like, no, we have a system of checks and balances. The door guy will check the cover booth guy, and you want to be like, what if they were both in on it?
Dude,
like, oh.
Fuck, man. Here we are, paid regulars, making nothing.
Nothing.
And all the employees are killing it.
Working the booth, answering phones, like, yep, you're on in 10 minutes. $500 a shift. Well, it's because they were so underpaid that you couldn't help but steal. It's like with Pauly's merch. Like, of course we're going to take some of this money. You pay us less than the improv is supposed to pay us? Of course we're going to steal from you. How dare you think we wouldn't? Hey, let me check the bank. Not till we're done fucking with it.
Yeah.
Then you can check it.
How much did I make, bro?
Ingram, we had this once. We were all in Tempe. I wasn't making anything. I just asked to go with him so I could get laid.
With Pauly?
Yeah. I was like, dude, I just broke up with somebody. I need to get laid. Can I go to Tempe with you? And he was like, well, we already got people.
Let me ask you this question. Yeah. When you go home, well, do you ever associate with people you grew up with?
A little bit. Avi Lerner, John Poland, a little bit.
Aaron were they all in the yeshiva with you?
No. They were all less religious than me.
Well, what I was going to say is, you ever start talking about like being out here, and you talk who your friends are, and like, and there are people that don't know you, and they just it's almost like you can't really talk about it because you look like a jerk off, like
you
like
when you're relaying a story,
like the night that Kramer flipped out, and I came back to the Comedy Store, and I told
that's
Rogan,
great. You had the first in. What did he say to you?
No, he didn't say anything to me. I just showed up.
I thought you saw him later.
No,
at the store.
No. Rogan, I did. We were all in the back kicking it, and then I said I got another set. So
the
I went
back
to
the main room.
No, we were
just
in the
parking lot. Yeah,
and then I went back to the Comedy Store. Do you know this story? I've told it before.
Maybe go ahead.
So then everybody's filing out at the Laugh Factory, and I go, "What the fuck happened?" And Brother Woods is like, "Yo, you got to talk to Jamie." So I said, "Jamie, I'm here," because I was like 5 minutes late. And he's like, "Buddy, the Kramer, he flipped the fuck out. He started saying N-word, you know."
Oh, really?
Yeah. And I says, "Holy shit." Then I came back to the Comedy Store, and Joe was, you guys were still there. And Joe was like, "Yo, I thought you had a set." And I was like, "Dude, you're not going to believe this. But Kramer was dropping N-bombs on the stage." And he's like, "No,
no."
I go, "Yeah.
That Kramer had some balls.
Fucking TMZ is out there." And I had never seen it. I didn't know what he had done. So the next night, that was a Friday night. Saturday night, we're in the main room. It's me, Lockhart, and Sebastian. We're sitting back there, and who walks in but fucking Kramer?
Kramer. Michael
now,
Richards.
I just know I know what he did, but I didn't see the videotape.
Yeah, no, it hadn't come out yet. Mm-hmm. It was a couple days before the videotape came out.
So, and it looked like, you know, which, by the way, I'm glad that happened because he was taking up way too much fucking stage time, man.
Kramer?
Yeah, because he was like a really rich open micer.
Yeah, really what he was. It was interesting. The first week he got there, everybody at the store, at least from what I could see, was like, "Wow, fucking Michael Richards is here. Cool." You know, it's that moment. And then after a week, usually it takes longer than that, but a week, we were all like, "Oh, you're nothing."
But which I didn't.
You've got no stage presence.
Look, he earned whatever he earned, and he got, and I respect that. You know, as a comedian,
yeah.
And he would go up there and work
at the store. Nobody cares about anything but stand up.
Right.
They don't give a fuck about anything but your ability on stage.
And how
are you with the mic?
And the Comedy Store, I think, you know, is probably the closest thing to New York and L.A. when it comes to the comedy shit.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But, you know, every club brings something different. But anyway, so we're in the back, and then he walks in, and he had never said two words to us, ever.
Yeah.
But now it looked like he was trying to make friends.
Camaraderie now. He's like, I need some allies.
And he walked in, and he said, he goes, "I feel like everybody's staring at me." And I says, "Yeah, man, I heard about that. I was supposed to go up, but I go, "What happened?" He goes, this is exactly what he told me. I swear to God.
Yeah.
All right. Sebastian and Freddie can vouch for it. He goes,
"I believe you."
He goes, "Yeah." He goes, "Listen, I'm not a comedian like you guys. I've watched you kids work, you know, and you guys are trained comics." He goes, "I'm more of a trained actor."
Huh.
Oh. And there's this shock playwright, this German playwright that I was channeling that does shock humor. And I'm thinking, like,
channeling.
Yeah, the last people you want to channel for comedy are the fucking Germans.
Yeah. And I beer aus der Weg. Remember that commercial? Like, Germans know beer. They don't know.
Yeah,
don't
yeah.
Know. Why did the chicken cross the road? To get somewhere. And then he'd be like, yeah, the tagline was, I beer aus der Weg. I love that one, yeah.
But I'm like, yeah, you know, and then he said, you know, he was trying to shock the audience, and he went too far, and he didn't know what he was doing.
That's what it looked like.
But then I said to him, I go, don't worry, it'll blow over. And the funny part was, because you know Sebastian's facial expressions.
Yeah.
So we were doing that Young American tour, so we flew out Sunday to go to Detroit. It was me, Mike Young, Tony Rock, and Butch Bradley. And then we were staying at Mike's mom's house, and then that Monday it was on the front page of the paper, and what? Sebastian just looked at me and went, blow over. He goes, this guy's done.
Blow over.
And then we saw the videotape, which just fucking,
it was crazy. It was really damning. Here's what I understood, though, from it. It was like, I know this guy was heckling him or whatever, was bothering him. He wanted to get back at him and just hurt him in some way. And I get he was channeling channeling sounds a little bit grand. And use words like I was channeling someone.
Well, I mean, that's what he said.
It's like I was influenced by this guy, maybe. But anyway, I've done the same thing, but with Arabs, where I just want to hurt them. So I'm like, what can I say? The most I know what this will get to you. I don't know anything about your upbringing or who your parents were.
You could be great people.
Yeah, but I know. No, I didn't say any of that. I'm trying to think, like, how do I hurt this person? I don't know anything about them. I don't know if their wife left them 2 years ago. I don't know the things I can use to dig. But I was like, you piece of shit Arab. You dirty, your brother. You probably fucked your father. Just shit I know that would get to them.
And you're inciting more terrorism against your people?
Yeah. Just knowing that. And I saw black people laughing at it.
That's my pet peeve, though.
When you were laughing at
others. I don't go to that extreme. Yeah, when other people laugh at others, but they don't laugh at themselves, I've seen that firsthand. I've seen people laugh when you're making fun of other groups, and then they're like, oh, wait a minute.
Well, that's not exactly the truth. And you're like, no, it's not. It's a joke based on the truth.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not exactly
the
truth.
Well, that's the whole thing about stereotypes, too. It's not like groups of people get together and make shit up about your group.
Yeah.
It's your group behaving a certain way over a long period of time that everybody's noticing. And just for the record, nobody's more guilty than that than the fucking Italians and the Jews.
Italians are some of the worst whites.
Yeah, we're up there.
When they act Italian-y, it's never like, it's all about family. It's all about, like, the family. And just shitty, like... Nobody ever gets the version. They always get this Tony Soprano version. Nobody gets a Chef Boyardee version.
There's a cartoon. Well, because that's the first generation. They used to call them the Mustache Pete's.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
What were they?
They were, hey, you come on in. You come eat. That guy. Yeah. I make a food for you.
Yeah.
Hey. You know, even though, like, my mom speaks Italian and my stepfather spoke Italian, they weren't from Italy. My grandparents spoke fluent. You know, but it is. It's a different breed, and which is what I mostly I make fun of on stage. But people, they get the lines blurred. They think like I'm making fun of my friends that overdo it.
Yeah,
and they're like, "Oh, Brett's the Italian," but I'm not.
No, I'm mocking my Italian friends.
I'm mocking my friends.
I'm saying I've.
And I grew up mostly with brothers, anyways.
Now, when you say brothers, yeah, black people,
yeah, African Americans.
You grew up in Florida, right?
Well, New Jersey. I grew up in Passaic. Well, I went to 15 different schools, man. One high school.
Why?
Just my mom, single mom, moved around a lot. Fucking rent got high. We got to get out.
It's a weird life. Ever think about yourself as a kid and think, like, I wonder if I could even see a path to where I am now when I was 14.
Know what? I'll be honest. It sounds corny, but the minute I stepped on stage, it all made sense. But it would also explain
why
I yell at people.
Why?
Well, I used to.
You want to be able to, like...
No, it's just, I don't know, man. It's almost like, it's such a I guess it's, is the word narcissism? Where you, because I've never really had, I mean, I'd had male role models. Like my stepfather was there for me, but that was a little later on. And my Uncle Don, you know, he helped guide me. But, you know, basically I was on my own. Like I figured shit out on my own. I paid for everything I've ever gotten. I went to school on my own. I'm the only one in my family that graduated from college, even though my little brother went to film school. And you just, when you're on your own instincts, you think you know things more than other people because it's tested and tried. And then when you hear somebody talking, it's almost like, you know, yours is a theory.
Yeah, but mine is fact.
But mine's fact. Yeah, but in reality... His could be fact too.
You just don't want to accept.
Well, you just say it can't be because that's not what I experienced, you know, and it
Right, people do that with like depression pills a lot. They're like, oh, it doesn't work. They're overprescribing. Like, well, you know, you haven't really seen how it can help if you've never been through it. You know, right. Had some pill help you with something. But like, I've got this thing sometimes when I see somebody as like a know-it-all, I just want to think they're wrong. Like, I go into it. Yes. It's not even thought out, but I just like. Something in me desires well, to think they're wrong, to prove them wrong.
It becomes like a projection thing. Almost. Yeah. Like, I'll give you an example. We're both Cowboy fans, nothing to do with the NFC. But for a while, I wanted to see the Patriots lose. And not because they were good, but because of Eric Marino and Bill Burr.
Right,
because all they did was fucking talk about them, especially Eric Marino.
That's why I hate the Lakers.
How great they are. So what happens is like you have nothing against them. And I like Tom Brady. Bill Belichick's a genius. But because of that asshole fan.
He plays
fan,
like a gentleman, Brady.
Yeah. But because of that like asshole Young. Fan, you want to see them lose, not because you want the team, but you want that fan.
Eric Marino feeling pain.
Right. It's the same thing with religion. It's like Jesus, on paper, fucking beautiful guy. Why would you ever want to talk shit on him?
Yeah.
As a philosopher, brilliant.
Yeah.
But it becomes a certain type of Christian that people will make
fun
of.
Yeah, they use that in order to crusades that, or to, just like, I'm better than you. To judge you.
Well, what I'm saying no more is that they'll do things like they'll mock Jesus not because they hate him.
Oh, because they hate
him. Because they
want to
piss the Christian off.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? Because I've heard some horrible things.
Turn the other cheek is a good idea. Forgive.
A lot of stuff Jesus said was perfect. You know, you
water
can't really
into wine. Awesome idea.
But see that stuff. See, that's the one thing I think the religious right and atheists have in common is they don't see the beauty in the message. They take it literally.
They don't see metaphor.
Yeah, like in other words, like I mean, not the water and the wine thing, but I'm saying when you look at Jesus's parables and metaphors and proverbs or whatever you want to call it, he was a pretty righteous guy. He was a pretty awesome guy. It's not like he was a dick. A lot of people followed him.
One hooker ever.
If
one less than me.
But you know, like I said, it's more that I forgot who said that. The problem I have with Christianity are Christians.
Yeah, that makes sense.
But most Christians are cool, man. I've never really met just like the Jewish people I met. I've met a few Hasidic crazy people.
I've met either non-religious Christians who just say I'm Christian, but they're not really. I won't even count those because they were like, I guess once a year I go to church. I won't count those.
You're like my best friend. He's Jewish. He says he's Jewish, but just because of heritage.
Jewish, yeah.
Yeah, not because of religion.
But yeah, so a lot of Christians are like that. Them I don't mind. It's the religious ones that will follow you up in an elevator and say, do you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior?
But do you know how rare they are?
But do you know how rare it is, how much rarer it is to have a good Christian who's showing you the Christian ideals and not judging?
But see, a real Christian would never do something and say, look what I did. Or sit there and tell you what they did. You understand? Like that's Jesus said.
It's someone who claims to be a real Christian though.
Yeah, like real Christians don't judge. That's the worst thing you can do. The worst thing you could do as a Christian is say where somebody's gonna is judge somebody as God would.
See, that's worse than rape.
I mean, come on, man. I mean, other than that, why gotta go there?
I really do love how that's not.
But I will say this: if Jesus came back, I guarantee you, he would probably want to hang out with atheists more than some of those Christians.
Because they're better people sometimes.
Well, they're just not as judgmental, but they can be crazy and they can be extreme. That's the
I
other
think
part.
Atheism, the thing is, it's a revolt against the constantly like shoving it in our face, the Christian way to ideal, and it plays into public policy. We're like, hey, but have your religion, but why does this have to do with law?
But how many Catholics do you know knock on your door?
No, none. But
I'm just saying there are certain groups of Christians that don't do most Christians.
But here's how they do knock on my door.
Way.
There's no stem cell research now because of Christians.
But again, look at the new Pope.
Yeah.
My uncle's a priest. We say he's technically my cousin, but he's my mom's first cousin.
Yeah.
Lived an amazing life. Was in the CIA. Was in the Middle East. And became a priest later on in life. And there's a liberal faction of the church. Like, it's divided, just like America.
Yeah, the gay contingency in the church.
Well,
right?
my Catholic Church has a gay and lesbian program where it's not an outreach where we're trying to convert. They actually come there and they deal with.
At some point, you got to realize like it's not a choice. Like accept them or you lose them.
Of course.
Them.
Like my brother was gay and was devout, man. I mean, like he went to church, believed in God.
How did he deal with like once he got AIDS, right?
Yeah.
How did he deal with the church then?
What do you mean? The church had nothing to do with it. They didn't shun him.
They did not.
No, that's what I'm saying. It's like some fucking hacky argument.
Yeah.
That everybody said it's like this contrived characterization. I'm not saying they're there because, like we said about stereotypes, they're there for a reason.
Yeah.
But you know, my church, we never had a problem with my church. My priest came, my brother. Yeah, no, never talked to him all the time, and counseled them, never once said.
Yeah, your priest probably didn't rape children, but a lot of Catholic priests did.
Well, not a lot.
Hundreds?
Dude, all right, let me ask you this question.
Thousands?
Did you ever see the MSNBC thing?
To Catch a Predator?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I loved
it. You see, the first guy was a rabbi, and then there's teachers, and there's a predator's a predator. Now, the only fault the church did was cover it up.
It's transferring them to other places where they can continue being predators.
But now you got to understand the lunacy behind that.
That is lunacy.
That these idiots think that, well, if they prey on it, it could go away. And also, they're protecting from lawsuits. And don't get me wrong, I don't condone that.
There was no lawsuits 800 years ago.
But you're missing what I'm saying. I don't condone that.
Right, right, right.
I'm saying, though, there was a whole thing in South Florida about these rabbis that were molesting kids that were studying to be their bar mitzvah. I guess they would go and have private lessons.
Yeah, they molest them.
Yeah, but see, there's not, like, the Catholic
Church.
But
the synagogue didn't, like, hey, let's keep this
because
quiet.
Because there's not one, there's not there's not one, like, hierarchy.
Yeah.
Like, and by the way, it's a fucking travesty what they did.
Yeah.
You understand what I mean?
Yeah.
To cover it up. But I mean, there's football coaches, there's teachers. I mean, more teachers molest kids than priests, by the way.
Yeah, but how come Penn State could get the death penalty, or nearly did?
And the church can't.
Which gets nothing.
Because it's not in the NCAA.
they're not amateurs.
Honestly, buddy, I think this is my theory on things. If our founding forefathers came down, right, and Dr. King and Jesus, and they told us what the Constitution meant and what racial unity really is and what religion really is. I think it's so far gone now that the extremists would just tell them to shut the fuck up. They don't know what they're talking about.
What do you mean it's so far gone now?
Like the polarization on both sides. Like, you know what I mean? Like, the religious right would probably tell Jesus he's an idiot.
Oh,
you don't
right.
know what you're talking about. This is what this is what you said.
Yeah.
You know what
like,
I mean?
No. Wait,
even with
what?
The Constitution, man. Do you know how many people just were? Do you know that God is not in the Constitution and neither is separation of church and state? And neither are blacks or 3/5 of a human being. This is all herd theory, all hearsay.
Yeah.
Separation of church and state was in a letter Thomas Jefferson wrote. But the idea that the government establishing a religion,
yeah,
you know, and like what Israel does with Judaism or a lot
right.
of the Middle Eastern,
they don't want that.
Right. That's what they don't
well,
want.
Well, that pretty much means separation of church state. I mean,
no,
we don't have prayer in schools
mean,
or
no,
the
no.
post office.
No,
it
see, that's
that
wrong.
Because
that's wrong.
That's because if the post office is putting up Christmas signs, that's right. an establishment of
no.
the government saying we support Christmas.
Right. It should. And it should support Judaism and it should support atheism. You have to understand the concept of our government. It's a government of the people, for the people, by the people. If the government and the people are one, then why shouldn't the government be able to express every holiday and non-belief and every view of its people? Do you understand what I mean?
Because they don't celebrate all of them. They just put up Christmas
no,
lights.
No, but like what happened with the...
And they put up Hanukkah lights.
Listen,
like that holiday doesn't matter to us.
Well, but I'm saying is that if that's what you want, then that... Because you
no,
don't
I
celebrate
want it out
that
of
that.
I want religion out, all religion out of public places.
I see.
Of,
I, don't,
of,
I think that's wrong.
Out of government buildings.
I think it's wrong.
Why? It
because
has nothing
wrong.
To do with government.
So do you want to work weekends?
But Saturday has nothing to do with religion.
Yes, it does.
No, it doesn't.
Yes, it does.
What's Saturday?
It's the Jewish.
No, no,
yeah,
no,
they
no,
push
no,
for
no,
Saturday.
No, no, no,
yeah, because
no.
they can't use phones.
No, no, no. We were made to work on Saturdays the entire time.
Well, Sundays, and you want to work Sundays?
Sundays was because of Christians. But to me, it's like, why can't I buy liquor on fucking Sundays?
Well, now, wait. Now, again, here's the thing. Think about where
me.
You're going now, all right? Mm-hmm. Like here's the thing. You ever hear when atheists say to a religious person, to a Christian, you can't prove a negative?
Yeah.
Okay? Which I agree with.
Yeah.
Like if I say this...
Can't prove God doesn't exist.
Right.
You don't always say, but maybe.
You can't. Like, in other words, it's not my job to prove... It's not your job to prove he doesn't. It's my job to prove he does.
Yeah. And you can't prove he does.
It's the same thing. You can't celebrate or express your non-beliefs... By not allowing people to express their beliefs, whatever those beliefs may be, whether it be a majority
them,
or a minority.
But not while you're representing the government.
But the government and the people are one. Don't you understand that? You can't say that's the problem. That's where we're at right now. Like, I'll tell you my favorite thing that happened. Those atheists put a bench up next to the Ten Commandments.
Mm-hmm.
That's awesome. Because now, okay, you're allowing these people to express theirs, but here's ours.
Yeah.
That's how that should work. Just
yeah,
like the Muslims that wanted to build the mosque at 9/11 site. I think it's a bad choice, but that's
I know
they
wanted to build it like five blocks away.
Whatever it is, they should have been able to.
Yeah.
Which they were. That's okay. But you can't say, because I don't believe in anything, I'm offended by people that do and the government. I mean, again, fundamentally, I think it's wrong. I think that the government building belongs to the people.
Yeah.
So therefore, whatever that constituency is should be able to express
yeah, but the government
whatever
said
beliefs they
that,
have.
That we're not going to name a religion. So to just put up Christmas lights.
But they don't. They put up menorahs. They put up anything.
We don't care about Hanukkah. That's just a similar time zone holiday.
So then let me ask you this then.
If, they don't put up Passover lights or Rosh Hashanah lights.
Do they have those?
They have decorations you can put up, but they don't. They're just like, well, fine. Here, Hanukkah too. Same time.
Well, that was because
holiday.
But it's not like the government volunteered it. Jewish people said, this is what we want up, and they put it up. And I have nothing wrong with that.
I do.
Same thing with Ramadan. Well, who cares?
Yeah.
Why does it bother you that there
well,
are
most people in
80%
America,
let's of Americans for, yeah, are Christian?
Yeah, okay, but let's say 80% of Americans like slavery. It's still the
no,
job
that's
of the
different. Now, that's a mandate in a law.
Yeah.
You're not talking about a culture. Like, so in other words, if somebody's culture offends you,
yeah,
like, say, because
yeah,
you're
keep it,
wait
do
a minute.
It at home,
you
do it on the streets, just keep it
question.
Away from government sanctioned buildings.
But I'm saying if the government and the people are one,
yeah.
then why fundamentally that's wrong.
What do you mean? I don't understand.
Because the government's us.
Yeah.
It's a Jewish person.
Yeah, and we
it's
have
Christian,
decided.
It's
we
an
have,
atheist.
Yeah, and we have
decided. All of it.
Yeah, and we have decided.
No, we haven't. The majority of people want it.
Okay, so the majority of people want what?
What don't mind Christmas decorations.
Okay, Christians don't mind Christmas
no,
decorations.
No, a lot of Jews don't either.
Okay, but
there's only 13 million of you, by
but
the
it's
way.
Mostly the Christians you're saying.
In the world.
So what you're arguing from is a place of we're the majority, so no one else should have to worry and be offended because we're the majority and
no,
we want it.
Well, now, first of all, don't you understand what you're saying? If you're saying that my religion offends you,
yeah.
therefore...
No, it doesn't offend me. It just shouldn't have a place of government sanctioning.
But if the government is of the people, then why the government?
Because they said they shouldn't have a government sanctioned religion.
No, that's not what separation is. That's bullshit.
And to
it's
have
saying
Christmas
the government should not establish a religion.
Yeah, and when the post office puts up Christmas lights, that's establishing
no, it's
religion.
Not. It's recognizing.
It's saying this is the one.
It's celebrating a belief of its people. It's like Cinco de Mayo, St. Patrick's Day, whatever the fuck.
Okay,
it is.
Let me ask you a question. Let's say the post office had swingers that worked there. Could they put pictures of hardcore porn of threesomes going on? Because that's
different.
Their culture.
It's not their culture.
What if that is their culture? There's people that go swingers parties all the time, and it's their entire culture.
This is
their minority, and it might offend somebody.
Pragmatism gets out of play. All right, if there's a swingers church or a swingers lifestyle,
yeah.
is there a swingers holiday?
I don't know. They could have one if they wanted, I guess.
I mean, come on, man.
Yeah, I have no respect for Christianity. I'm like, what are you doing?
Well,
get the fuck out of here. Why is any government money going towards a religion?
It doesn't.
Really?
Yes. So let me ask you this, then.
They don't put up those Christmas lights. They don't put up the Christmas lights all over Sunset Boulevard.
If the city wants it, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, it does. I mean, yeah, of course. But I'm saying, like I love Christopher Hitchens. I think he's a brilliant fucking man.
Yeah.
Okay.
Was.
I really do. And I enjoy listening to him. Obviously, I'm probably more exposed to Judaism than you were probably to Catholicism. Correct.
Maybe.
I mean,
yeah.
Yeah. Italians and Jews, we were hand in hand together growing up. I mean, that's all I grew up with. So there's no reason why it would offend me. Mm-hmm. But just say if somebody's offended by your religion, which is actually
really
your culture.
It doesn't really come down to offending at all. That's not really what it is.
But I'm saying then why – if the government and the people are one,
yeah,
that's the way it should be. See, that's why I do support the Occupy movement and the Tea Party because the government, people, one, corporations, government should be separated. The way we have it now is the government and the corporations are one,
yeah.
and the people in the government are separated.
Yeah.
And that's why we're fucking ass backwards.
Yeah, that's why we just make laws based on what the corporations want.
And again,
based on what the people want.
Right. And on top of that, like if you're looking at the Christianity, even though you may not respect it, 80% of people in America are Christian.
Yeah.
Right. And less than,
yeah, yeah. So this to
and
me,
less than 10% are the are
okay.
The,
it's, but it's, to me, this is what it is. To me, 80% are Christian, so yes, so Christianity should be legal.
No, it's not that. It's
because
an expression.
Because people want to do it, so go ahead and do it.
You're not passing a law. You're saying if – all right, then on Cinco de Mayo, if you say that to people in L.A., your culture offends me.
It's not about offending. It's not about that.
So then what do you think is happening when you see a menorah and a nativity scene and a Christmas tree?
No, it's like they want to be included or something. Jews want to be included. How come you don't include us too?
But whatever it is, it's just an expression.
Offensive.
It's just it's the government.
Yeah, so express it, but not
like,
by,
do you
not
think
the
Ramadan
government.
All right, let me ask you this then.
Yeah.
Do you think Christmas should not be celebrated at the White House? Or Ramadan's been celebrated in the White House since fucking Thomas Jefferson.
Yeah.
Okay, that's
no,
okay.
That.
That's a government building.
And they're putting up what, Ramadan lights?
Well, no, they have Muslim, like Obama did it. They made a big deal about it, but you know, because the conservative media tried to fucking crucify him on it. But must no pun intended. But in reality, that's been going on since Carter and Washington. And Jefferson and Ronald Reagan. Because you have a Muslim constituency in this country,
yeah.
Why shouldn't it be expressed in a house that they pay for? Just like we pay for the post office. So in other words,
White House seems a little weird because it's somebody's home.
But it's not.
Does he live there, though? He does live there,
yes,
right?
Yes, but it's owned by us.
Yeah.
Don't get it twisted. So is that post office.
Yeah, but he's allowed to, like...
So, like, here's my solution to the problem. I think atheists should get a day to be recognized. See, because
you know how you recognize atheism?
But wait.
Do not recognize any other religion.
But that's not atheism. That's not right. You can't do that.
Yeah.
Now you're shitting on most people that have some type of belief.
Yeah.
And that's wrong. That's un-American.
Really?
But what's not un-American is if you had an atheist day where you had an atheist symbol and asked to put it up in a post office.
Yeah, I would not support that.
That's bullshit.
I would not support that. Because it's got nothing to do with our government.
Yes, it does. No. You see, that's where we fundamentally disagree.
Yeah.
I think the government and the people – the government – see, we've made the government – the people dependent on the government, but the government is the people.
Yeah, they never say –
whatever the people are, the government
should –
They never
say, we shouldn't do this. They say, fine, we'll include you too. But they never say, yeah, we shouldn't even do this at all.
And just for the record, if you talk to some fucking Christians – Christmas only became a national holiday. It wasn't in the – like none of this shit is in the Constitution. God's not in the Constitution. You know what I mean? That's bullshit. He's mentioned in the Declaration of Independence, but we hold these truths to be self-evident, all men are created equal. They're endowed by their creator.
Yeah.
In other words, not mine or thee, but their, with certain unalienable rights.
And yeah, it's still in a backwards place. The creator doesn't include people with
No, but you understand that the importance of
gods.
That
yeah.
is saying that your rights are bestowed upon you by something greater than the government. In other words, it's saying they could have used nature.
Yeah.
But they're saying that because you're not indebted to any one entity for what you're born with.
Okay, hold on a second.
So that's very important.
When you see people, when you see like my eyes just kind of glaze over there.
Uh-huh.
Okay, and how do you normally react when you see sort of stuff like that?
I want to make out with you.
Like seriously, when you see people sort of like lose interest.
Well, I didn't know. I thought you were asking
questions. I was, but then it becomes like, all right.
But again, you're entitled to tune out. Let's talk about something fun then. I thought that was fun.
Yeah, it was, but it's just like comes a time when you get this habit of just like quoting stuff so that – yeah.
I used to stutter really bad.
Yeah.
And that's another thing that my mom brings up. She's like, I learned to beat it by talking hard.
Oh, with like a purpose.
Yeah.
Oh, interesting.
And if I I'll stutter for you. I broke the habit, but you can catch me every now and then.
Do it.
If I tell you to listen.
Yeah.
Give me a P word.
A P word?
I'll tell
propaganda.
I'll tell you one I can't say.
Yeah.
I can say perforated.
Perforated?
Yeah, I can't say. I know what it's supposed to mean. Say it.
You can't
I know
say per?
Right. Yeah. I'll stutter.
Let's try it. Perforated. Right. There's dots. There's holes. Because it's perforated.
I know. Hold on. See, now you're into this.
Now I'm interested. Yeah.
All right. Ready?
Yeah.
Perforated.
You got it.
Yeah.
That was pretty slow, though. I mean, you didn't get
now,
it.
Now,
like,
if I was talking I'm going to start stuttering now. You stuttering, prick you?
Say this. Say, like, I prefer the kind of sheets that are perforated
you're
over
a
the
dick.
Try that.
I prefer the kind of sheets that are perforated over ones that
nerd.
Are
nerd. Get him.
Wait, how did you say that? I prefer the sheets that are perforated.
I
prefer the sheets that are perforated over
the unperforated ones. Over the properly perforated ones.
See, now that's the problem, though. I do enjoy. See, I'm fucked up now.
From what? The cigar and the beer?
No, from stuttering.
Oh, yeah.
I do enjoy a good debate, you know, or a good exchange of ideas.
Yeah. I've heard you say this before about this church and state, but really, in reality, it has become our thing, a separation of church and state. It has become what we live by. There's a lot of stuff that's not quite in the Constitution, but it has become norms for our country.
Now, this would be a good example. Just because it's evolved that way doesn't mean it's right, because it causes a division when there doesn't need to be. It's just a respect.
That's how I feel about the TSA, where it's like it's evolved to where we have to search you even though we don't have any reason to.
Dude, go ahead.
Because, terrorism or whatever. It's like, no, they were clearly had this in mind when they said you can't just search someone for no reason.
Right.
They're like, no, it's different times now. It's terrorism. It's like they had the enemy living on our soil when they wrote that. How is that less of a problem than it is now? The enemy, they were an occupying force then, and they said you can't just search somebody with no reason.
Right.
How is it better now or worse now?
Well, the other thing, the only argument I can make for that, even though we agree with that, is just to play contrarian.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't have bombs that could kill fucking hundreds of people at one shot, really.
You know? That's true.
I mean, dude, this is dangerous times, buddy. And I think that, you know.
It is dangerous times. But have you seen those studies on, like, gun control where it's like they show you, like, mass killings and stuff? And, like, per capita hasn't really gone up. School shootings, stuff like that. It just gets more attention now because media decides that.
I'm nowhere near for gun control. Not at all.
My feeling is, I say this all the time. We're going to have an armed revolt in this country, and we're going to need our guns.
Yeah.
And it's not about hunting, and it was never about hunting.
Hey, here's what the Second Amendment basically saying. And again, you know, this could be an argument for you and the religion thing, if you want to use it that way. Because when it was written, it was saying that whatever the government has, we should have as a people. So if the government has a tank, we should be able to own a tank.
Otherwise, I'll get too much power.
Right. But now we got nuclear. Now we got nuclear weapons. It's not saying, hey, you know, we should buy nuclear weapon.
Yeah, but they were like, oh, the forefathers didn't see semi-automatic weapons. So like, no, that's what we have to fight with now.
Yeah.
That's what, of course, they would have if they knew they were going to be around.
Right.
Yeah, no. You just sort of left interpreting what they would have said now, right?
Yes. You know what?
I think we need a new constitution. I think we need to redraft one.
I would agree. And I think the first thing we should do is you know, all right, you know what? Listen, you got me stuttering now, you fucking dick.
Yeah, I'm the dick because you have problems talking. Because you're a nerd.
I love Penn & Teller's bullshit. You ever watch that show?
No, but I've heard of it.
I love it.
Cool.
I love them. Yeah. By the way, that's what I was going to tell you. The quiet one, I think it's Teller, made little metal Bill of Rights.
Yeah, so they would go off and
so it would go off, and then he would give it to him, saying, "You're taking my rights." I think that's brilliant.
Yeah. Oh, you're physically taking my rights, and people are like, "Well, that's not going to make change." It's because no, but it's one small act of resistance.
Yes,
it's one small act of saying we do not accept this.
But at the same token, I don't think it's a. I don't know how effective it is. But again,
what, to do that.
No. I meant as far as the TSA in general.
It's completely ineffective.
But let me ask you this question then: because of the internet and this world. You could talk to people across the world. There's a whole network going on.
Mm-hmm.
What about the spying on that? I mean,
what do you mean? Spying on what?
Like, I have mixed feelings about that.
About what? The NSA spying?
Yeah.
Yeah. My feelings are, no, we have a right to privacy on our phone calls. It's an assumed right that when we are on the phone, we assume
but
that no one is listening.
We didn't have phones then.
I know. But we did have domiciles. And the courts have interpreted it to say, you have a... Like when you talk to your wife, it can't be held against you because you have a thought that when you're sharing something with your wife, this should be private. When you're talking on the phone, no one else is listening. Now, if you're talking on your phone out in a public park, it has less privacy issues because you're out in public now. You know what I mean?
What do you do when somebody's just glossing over, looking out while you're talking?
Yeah, I'll try to get their attention more, I guess.
No, actually, well, because what I'm saying is what about like how – these people, like when all of a sudden you're searching things and then it keys up and like it's saying, okay, how to make a bomb.
Yeah.
And even though me and you may be looking up, wow, how could you make a bomb?
Yeah.
But now you it sets something off and then now they're following
these looking
at
all your stuff and they're listening to
right.
you.
Right. And then they find out you're ordering stuff.
Yeah. And they say, well, if you don't have anything wrong, if you're not doing anything wrong, you have no reason to be afraid. And that's just not true. I read this article. They're like, there are certain laws, federal laws, where if you own too large a lobster, regardless of whether you bought it from a supermarket, that's a federal offense. So they can say, well, fuck it. We'll just go in there because of that. So there's plenty of stuff you're doing that it's like you're doing something wrong.
Yeah.
There's hundreds of pages of laws. You can be fucking up on any of them. We want our ability to shut our door and say we're alone now.
What do you think of the
and if they catch
of Obamacare?
I don't really know enough about it. I do know that they don't – with the stuff that's already gone into effect, I no longer get mental health coverage because of it.
Right.
That SAG can't afford. They have to give everyone mental health or nothing. like full mental health. So they can't even offer me like 5 visits a year.
Right.
Because they would have to offer 20 to everybody.
Which I think all of society is in danger.
Yeah. It's just like, you fuck. It's not quite like, but I do think it's embarrassing that we don't have public health care. As you a know, nation, it's
but again,
that if somebody
you're
breaks their leg, they can't go get fixed.
What, over 350 million people here?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, you're well, not we talking about
most,
Canada.
But we have the most expensive health care per capita in the world.
I know.
We pay
But we
more.
Also have the best.
I don't know. Maybe.
Not free, but it's expensive. But we have the best doctors. And
I guess so. I guess, do we?
Some of. I mean, I guarantee you.
I know a
place.
Lot of Americans say we had the best this, the best that, and it's based on zero research. We're not the most free.
Well, I do.
Russia's more free than America is now in terms of.
Really?
Like,
you tell that to their homosexuals.
Oh, yeah. Definitely based on that. You're right. They don't have
I mean,
it as good
on,
as West.
Man. What are we talking? I mean, look how free we are.
Yeah, not really.
You got to have some type of order, though.
Yeah, yeah. You got to give us some freedoms for order, but it's getting more and more.
I think that we've gone away.
You got to be able to catch terrorists or whatever. It's like, yes, figure out a way where it doesn't infringe on the rights of every American in order to do that. That's your job as a cop.
Dude, yeah,
it's like if somebody says, well, this lineup sucks, and so as a host, I'm going to put on other comics. Like, no. Your job is to run the show good with this lineup.
Right.
That's your job. Figure it out. Well, it's hard because they all suck. Yeah, it is hard.
Do more time.
You got to do it. Yeah.
It's a terrible analogy.
Yeah, it is a terrible analogy. I'm bad at analogies.
I just went with it.
Yeah, and then we both realized, like, that doesn't really make full sense.
But why? You think I don't know, man.
I like the get the fuck off me. I heard this on NPR once, that there was this guy who they arrested him for something else, for something, whatever it was. Let's say jaywalking, but whatever it was. And they didn't try him. They just arrested him. And they took a blood sample against his will. Matched it against a rape case and came with a positive match. And they arrested him for the rape. And he challenged the law, saying, you did not have, that was not a justified search. You can't just take my blood just because you arrested me. You have to say, I'm tried and convicted, then you can take my blood. But until you do, you can't just arrest somebody and take everyone's blood. And right. The court said, yeah, you're right. That's not a valid search. So go find other evidence against him if you want. But you can't use this as evidence.
The other thing that bothers me is that back before people watched CSI, people were convicted on circumstantial shit all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Like that bitch in fucking Florida that killed her daughter.
How was she convicted?
Casey Anthony.
Mm-hmm.
The circumstantial evidence.
Modern American hero, if you ask me.
No, come on.
Way to get out of a bad situation.
He's such a dick.
She made a mistake.
That poor
and
child.
She corrected the mistake.
He's such a dick. That poor kid. But I'm saying.
I'm gonna try to smoke this joint.
If this were 20 years ago, there would have been. Don't. We'll be on here. We'll be on air forever now.
Trust me, this might not even get me high. This entire joint might not even get me high. But what were you?
She would
say?
Have been convicted on circumstantial evidence
back then,
but because there was no DNA.
Yeah.
Everybody thinks that's all you need now.
Oh, right.
You know what I mean?
Where it's like there can be more to find out. You don't need DNA.
Yes. Like they didn't convict.
How did she get off? Didn't everybody know she
there
did
was no
it?
DNA, man.
No DNA.
No, no DNA
do?
Match. Everybody watches TV now.
Well, like they were beaten, but not by her hand or something?
I have no idea, bro. I couldn't watch
that
shit, man.
I don't know
man.
How it is. It was.
I mean, I watched it, which is kind of weird for me to say that I watched it close enough to where I knew she was guilty.
Did you see the one with the other person, the one who killed that guy, stabbed him like 48 times in the shower?
The woman?
Yeah.
The woman that killed her, it was her...
boyfriend?
Yeah.
And she said he was like...
That's the, yeah. But she didn't get off.
She did not get off.
No, she
didn't. It was my favorite when they were doing the court transcriptions, the transcribing everything, and they were like, he told me he wants to, and then they would put in capitals any sort of sexual term. He wants to jizz in my face. He wants to defile my asshole.
He wants my gaping butthole.
Yeah.
He wants to fist.
And they have to write that. And some stenographer is like, yeah, it's a fun day. So what do you got coming up? Comedy Central won't give you an hour for no reason.
Nah. I mean, we're close.
Yeah.
We're going for
you
the second
have
round.
One. The hour is like what the half hour was when Maron and Swartzen.
Well, you know,
my
half hour was voted top five.
Top five all-time half hours.
No, it was in the stand-up showdown in 2011.
Top five stand-ups 2011.
Yeah, you know when they do the stand-up showdown?
You
never seen that? Like for all the specials of that
year.
You
know what they do for that? You know why they're doing that? It's the same reason as anyone says, oh, you're nominated for an award for this magazine. All they're saying is, hey, tweet out a bunch for me.
Yeah, but say, watch my... but I will say this. Mm-hmm. My road numbers fucking went up tremendously.
What, when they start airing it again?
Yes.
Yeah, I bet.
And people actually called in and voted for it. Like, really? I had no, I have no internet presence, as you know.
Mm-mm. It's laughably bad.
It is.
Yeah.
But I don't know about that shit, man. Well, it's not too bad. I got over a fucking 400,000 hits.
You know what David Tell does?
Uh-uh.
He, because he's getting older. He goes on World Star Hip Hop every day, and he goes to page 6 of the fucking Post, and he figures out the references. Because it's like, I'm going to have to make references to pop culture
well,
that I don't understand.
Here's the thing.
It is hard.
I don't need to go watch World Star Hip Hop because I watch that shit constantly and it's fucking amazing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I'm already up on all this stuff. It helps that my wife is, you know, a lot younger than me.
Oh, she is? How old is your wife?
She's 27.
Nice. How old are you?
Don't worry about it.
Don't come on. Don't be Hollywood.
I told you. I'm 39.
Oh, okay. I'm 39 too.
Yeah, I know. Old.
I guess so. I don't know. Your dick still works, doesn't it?
Yeah, most dude. Of the time. Why wouldn't it?
I don't know. Because if you're 60, it doesn't work anymore.
Yeah.
Half your life left. One half of what you've already spent, your dick won't work anymore.
That's crazy.
Yeah. You won't care up at that point. You just care about golf and cards or cigars or whatever it is.
Yeah. Well, no, I don't know. Dude, this is what makes me nervous.
What?
Retirement. I mean, what the fuck are we going to do?
Oh, yeah. I don't know. I feel bad for my parents. I don't know what they're going to do.
What do your parents do? They're not doctors or something?
No. That's not all Jews. Hold on. One more light, and then I'll give it back.
Are they lawyers?
No. My dad...
do they own a jewelry shop?
My dad used to be a jeweler.
Are they loan sharks? Do they loan money? Are they...
They loan money at a reasonable but high interest rate.
Are they studio executives? Do they own a bank?
Asshole face. No, they are CEOs of a bank.
Are they really?
No, no, no. My mom runs she works for a kosher caterer, and my dad, like, helps old Jews, like, this weed is horrible.
Oh, my God. It smells like the shit my dad rough. Smoked in the 70s.
Oh, my God.
My dad, you know, when I was a kid, my dad smoked that shit. He used to make me pick the seeds out of his fucking weed back then, yeah.
Oh, good for him. Don't just smoke the weeds. Just smoke the seeds. Oh, wow, this is not a smooth weed.
Just smoke it.
So, that was never an option not to smoke
it. In Rome. It's like eating fucking Jack in the Box at 4 in the morning. You're like, oh, this is terrible. Like, just let me get some
We're
more.
We're all drunk. Just eat it. Yeah, this is terrible. Let's see what the tacos taste like.
So, what, you think I've calmed down a lot, huh?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you drive people away a lot. Not drive people, but you know what I mean. You know what I mean,
in
right?
those moments.
Yeah.
Yeah, in those moments. Yeah.
And generally, you were a cool guy to have around. That's why it was kind of frustrating. We're like, cool, unbearable.
Yeah.
Cool, you know?
Just don't bring... Well, you would do it on purpose.
No.
Dave Taylor would.
Dave Taylor would bring stuff up that he knew you were going to go off on with a group and then walk away, leaving you with the group.
Yeah, it's crazy, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's mostly sports, though. Sports will send me over the top.
Sports will definitely send you over
the top. That's the only thing, really.
We heard this term once from this girl from Oklahoma who was just at the comedy store. You know how you meet crazy, like, all sorts of fun people?
Yeah.
This term, dragon flying. Because when you're swimming in a lake in Oklahoma, these dragonflies all swoop around you. And if you just go under the water and swim out a little bit, they'll follow you. They have to have another person. So you have to go up to another person, take the dragonflies with you, then go underwater and swim away, leaving the
chud. Is that
how
you guys handle me?
Yeah. Or the crazies. Whenever, like, Steve Kravitz, you know, after he's burnt out and stuff, he's talking to you like, Brett, Steve was talking about so-and-so. Oh, excuse me for a second.
Nah, it's only a certain group of people. Like I said, it's only my friends.
It's only your friends?
That I got in. Mostly Eric Marino, to be honest
with you. Mostly Eric Marino, yeah. The two of you
who's just
together.
As wacky as I am.
God.
Who used to get it? Don Richardson would get into that shit.
You quote these things about, like, all the cons, and we're like, I don't know what that thing is, but here's how I feel.
Yeah.
It's like...
Me or Marino?
Everybody dealing with you and Marino.
Oh, yeah.
They'd be like, all right, fine. So the Catholics started then. I don't know.
It's such stupid shit. And you know what it is, too, I think? Because, you know, when you read something and you find somebody interested that might be interested in what you've read.
Yeah. Oh, right.
Then you get a little bit more excited.
Yeah, you really want them to agree with you? What is it? No, you want them to, like...
No, it's not about agreeing at all. It's I call...
You want your opinion being valued. Is that it?
No, it's mental...
What is it?
It's mental chess.
Explain.
All right, and I don't know if you're like this. I'm very bad at small talk. I get bored.
Introverts get bored at small talk.
But
you're not really an introvert.
But I get bored at small talk.
Okay.
And if the higher the stakes,
yeah,
the more interesting it becomes for me. I could spend my whole day not saying a word.
And then have a real deep conversation about
yeah,
something.
Yeah, love it. Like, yeah. I could talk your ear off. I could do this all night. This is my favorite thing to do in the world.
What?
Is just shoot talk. The shit and fucking smoke cigars.
Where are we? Cabo.
Cabo.
Dude, that's beautiful out there. It is your favorite thing, just to talk and like...
Hang out, kick it. Now, yeah. The other thing, too, is that I grew up with guys that are kind of abrasive, so that right. also comes into play.
Where that and thing is, like, if you're the only child where you're like, you have this urge to like, quickly grab chicken and put it on your plate. Not only child, if you're one of 10, I mean.
Yeah.
Then
yeah.
you have to, like, then you develop that.
Well, I eat like an animal, too. I mean, I had to calm that down, too. My girl helped me with that. Because, you know, my mom, I was...
Brett, the food is not going away.
Yeah, not that we were latchkey... Well, I guess we were latchkey kids because my mom worked 2 jobs sometimes and we were home a lot alone. And my older brother ate more than me and we all eat more than each other depending on what's on the table. So we would fucking just devour food and eat like animals and... You know what I mean? But my mother... The one thing my mother instilled in me was respect. You know, I've always respected people.
Really?
Yeah. Always yes, ma'am, no, ma'am, yes, sir. But my eating manners are terrible.
Why?
Because we were eating alone a lot sometimes.
Oh, right,
you know what
right,
I mean?
Right.
Like me and my brothers, man, you know.
I have manners. We always had Friday night and Saturday day. We had dinner together and lunch together.
Your family?
Yeah. Or another family's house.
Well, it does. You know, it does. It does matter to have a man around, a father around. I think it does.
Yeah.
You know. I read something, too.
Of course
it does. I don't know how true
this is. A man and a woman,
is.
It helps to have around.
But... I don't know how I'm stuttering again. I don't know how true this is because I got it going in my head. Yes, but I heard that single fathers have a yeah. higher success rate at raising children.
What does that mean, success?
Like the kids turn out better. Like, you know, like a single mom, there's more because and it's not animosity towards the mom.
They just can't be disciplinarians as much.
Or I don't know what it is. It could be the animosity towards the father. You understand what
oh, right.
I mean?
If the father's not around, it's fuck the father.
Fuck
I'm rebelling
the father.
Because he's not
yeah,
there.
I'm doing that right. as opposed to because you know. But in nurturing, mom's the most important. You
right.
know, but a young boy to have his father around, you know, is everything, man. Kids run wild.
Boys kids run wild.
Yeah,
it's amazing to see Ren Azizi's kid trying to get away with things until his father stop it.
And Ren Azizi could be the ugliest baby you've ever seen.
Ren Azizi
yeah.
as a child.
As
you mean?
A child, remember oh. those pictures he showed us?
No, I remember him fat as a fat college kid.
Dude, did you see his head in the 2-year-old toddler picture of his?
No.
And Mrs. Ren Azizi, I apologize, but he showed us a picture one time at the.
You have an ugly baby.
At the 4th of July. See, that shit was fun, man.
His 4th of July parties.
Yeah.
With the ping pong table, the yeah. beer pong tables. No, yeah. it's just beer pong. What do they have outside?
Beer pong.
Do you remember when Jeff Dennis and Ryan O'Neill brought the pinata? That year,
oh, yeah.
It was right when you started hooking up with Eliza.
Yeah, it was that 4th of July.
Is that when you started with her? That party?
No, we were seeing each other a few months before then.
It was still kind of quiet though.
Yeah, I don't advertise nothing, man.
Yeah, but yeah, it was right around that. I remember
I
she was there.
I may not have had a man around, but I run my game like a fucking adult.
Yeah, it's like I'm
not
my
you
brag.
Guys. You fucking nerds. You get a piece of ass. You got to tell everybody.
That is not true. I do not do that.
Oh my god, I just made out with some girl, man.
That
like,
is not
fucking.
Not since college. In college, I was pretty stoked.
No, but
stoked
the pinata.
About.
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah,
that was
they,
a fun.
They filled it up with like
one.
Dirty underwear, used condoms, just gross things.
Those two were great. Those yeah. two were awesome.
Full
remember pin. The Comedy Store Gazette, the one issue?
Two. There was 2 issues.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. yeah. They did a whole piece on me.
On you, yeah. You took it as a good joke.
It was a joke.
Yeah.
Well, it was a joke. I mean, they
but it's
said
like a roast
it
joke. It's based on truth, but like, you know.
But I took it
like
as
if
a
they
compliment.
Said, like, you're a loudmouth, then it'd be like, Brett talks filibusters 14 hours. Like, that would be the
but
exaggeration.
But it was a nice yeah. piece. It wasn't bad. It was.
Yeah.
They were very complimentary.
You know who did get mad? Caparulo. And they barely even touched him.
Oh, yeah.
They did the Caparulo.
Weather report or something?
No, it was the, what's it called? Your birth sign?
Oh, horoscope.
Yeah, the Caparulo horoscope. And they would just use his pieces of material in a horoscope. So like, if you're an Aquarius, it's like, come on, dog. You know what I'm talking about. Whatever it was. It wasn't even like hurtful. It was just like.
Well, the one they did on me was hysterical.
What did they do on you?
They talked about my Mustang and my leather jacket. And then they said.
Oh, yeah. He did have a Mustang and a leather jacket.
That,
what a tool.
That they hated me because I was. Oh. If you play football, he'll tell you he played Division II.
Yeah. He loves saying that. No, I play Division II football. I'll tell you, when the whiteout goes out, you can't. Oh, Jesus.
By the way, nobody else is going to find this shit entertaining but us.
Somebody will. People appreciate honest talk. I don't know. So,
yeah, I can't stand, like, I love, that's the thing, man. I grew up different. Like, yeah. We break balls all the fucking time. And none of my friends have ever gotten offended. Like, none of my friends have ever said, hey, Brett, you're too much. Or you said this or that. It's just the opposite.
None of us got offended by you.
No. I know that. I'm saying just in general.
Yeah.
Then when you go out in the real world,
people get offended. Yeah. I love. I was out with my friend Avi Lerner. We were going to Myrtle Beach on a golf.
By the way, I'm all for you guys. I don't give a fuck.
Yeah.
Like, I'm still, like, I care.
Yeah.
Wait, guys, I really care that fucking.
Let's have another Modelo. Another warm Modelo.
That three nerds found me too much. Fucking. It's a shame. Go ahead. You want one more?
No, I got one.
Oh, I'm getting one for myself.
I know.
Oh, thank you. I didn't know what you were doing.
Yeah.
By the way, this is fun, dude.
Yeah, it is.
This made the whole trip. It really did, man.
I love doing them on location like this. It's great.
How much did you pay for this thing?
$300 for the Zoom.
It looks like a stun gun, that thing.
It does. The TSA always stops me on this. They're like, what is this? I'm like, what do you think it is?
You're like, taking my rights, man.
Tell me what it is. I'm like, why? Why would I tell you what it is? Do you think I could use it to do any damage to the plane? If you can deduct that, then after that, there should be no more questions.
Figure it out.
Yeah. Fuck you. I did nothing. When they started, I used to think, like, people like, what do they do about weed? I'm like, I think they must have. Because
nobody cares about drugs anymore. You could probably smuggle everything on.
My feeling is the worst I'll do is steal it. But,
Or buy it off some fucking street vendor in Mexico.
My friends were telling me, like, you should smuggle some in. You don't know if you'll be able to find some there. You should take some with you. And I'm like, wait, you want me to take weed into Mexico? Are you crazy?
Yeah, maybe you can't find a guy that can fix cars or...
yeah. Guess, bring a broom down there. You don't know if you could find one.
Maybe you should bring your own oranges.
Oh, race. What are we going to do tonight? Just get drunk? Your wife comes tomorrow?
Let's get drunk. Let's get fucking shitty.
Let's get shitty drunk, or I might barf.
On Modelo. And I got to find a new hotel.
You hate this place.
No, I love this place.
Yeah, but although you already have a girl
I just got married. I told her I'm going to try to pitch it to her. It'll be a mini honeymoon. Yeah.
Ready for our real one.
She'd be like, Brett, who's this awkward Jewish guy at our door all the time?
What are you guys doing tonight? Want to get some food?
So you like New York, huh? It's cool, right?
You ever do comedy there?
Yeah, dude.
Did you come from there?
No, Florida. I started in Florida.
And then you went to L.A.?
Well, the first comedy club I went to was Governor's in Long Island when I was in college.
Yeah, but
then I really made my rounds in L.A. Yeah, okay. I mean in Fort Lauderdale for 3 years.
And then came to...
Then I moved. Yeah, I was at Miami, Fort Lauderdale.
I know. I remember South Florida used to have... They used to say, like, Flip Schultz, all these
fucking
people.
Awesome.
Like, they had a
Schubert made
there.
A round down there. Really? So did Tosh. Actually, Tosh was on his way out when I had just started.
Oh, yeah, Tosh's a Florida guy.
Yeah, so was Billy Gardell. You know, used to come down there a lot? Mitch Hedberg.
Really?
Yeah, Hedberg used to... Because they had a nice fucking
scene
down there.
I'm an L.A. comic.
You started in L.A., right?
Yeah. I mean, I did like one open mic before that, but I started in L.A.
I'm a store guy, though.
Yeah, we all
love the store, bro.
Rogi used to love that. He told some story about how you were like... You went to guest spots for him, maybe in Miami, maybe somewhere else. And you were just like slayed. You're just like crushed. And at the end, you go, comedy store, bitches. just like.
Yeah. How the fuck you know that? He
Rogan said that. Yeah.
What happened was
like, that's the training we get.
The room was fucking horrible.
Yeah.
And that's how I get, man. I'm like, yo, throw me up.
Sounds like an attack.
I'll take this room. Throw me up. Oh, no, I can't light this thing.
Yeah, it's hard.
And then,
hold on. You want me to pause it and light it?
Yeah, pause it.
Okay, wait, what were we saying before that? Throw me up. Okay, go ahead. Okay, well, technically we're still in a pause, but it's fucking idiot Brett, who knows nothing about technology, is roaming. He's paying for roaming because he doesn't know how to turn his phone off. He has no idea what Skype is. Ugh. Where's your general settings, idiot? I love these idiot boys. Oh, he's paying for every text that comes in. What a moron. Yeah, if your wife gets kidnapped, you're going to be taken no matter what. Definitely. What were we saying before we paused? Oh, yeah, light that thing up anyway.
Oh, Comedy Store Stories.
Comedy Store Stories, yeah. By the way, I just should announce I'm going to Australia. I'm doing the Comedy Store in Australia, October.
We have a Comedy Store there now?
No. It's just another place called the Comedy Store.
Where? In Sydney?
Sydney. Mitzi always wanted to sue them, but then she never got around to it. But I want to see what it looks like. But I think I'm there like the 15th through the 19th or 15th through the 20th, something like that. They're doing that. And then I'm going to Melbourne. I'm doing some other gig there the weekend after. Comics Lounge, yeah.
Dude, they're the best, bro.
The 24th, 25th, dude, something like that.
That's the one I was telling you about. That was the guy was like, I'm so glad I got the, oh. You know, the other story.
The guy said what? You're so glad what? Oh, you got it all lit.
About the American comics.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, 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 yeah,
he said,
yeah.
I made him like American comics.
That's hilarious.
No, but what happened was we were at this, I forgot where we were at, and Joe was there, and the crowd sucked, and of course, you know, Joe was closing.
Yeah.
And I just said, fuck this, man, and I went up. And just after, like, none of the comics could get them.
Yeah.
Then, you know how it is, man. You know how the store trained you.
Yeah.
You just figure it out.
I think it was like, one of those Real Men of Comedy tours, those Bud Light things. So it was Charlie Murphy who just started. It was some local. And it was Heffron.
Was it?
Maybe, if it was one of those. Because I could see those two guys not doing well.
Well, Heffron does great.
Heffron does good, though, yeah. I forgot it was him, too.
Charlie's turned a corner, too, man.
Think so?
Yeah, bro.
I mean, really?
No, I'm saying he's gotten fucking. He's a funny motherfucker, obviously.
Yeah.
You know, but you know, again, I think he jumped on. He took on a lot.
Yeah.
But he could step up now.
You know
man.
Who had the good idea when they started? Fucking Tom Arnold. When he goes, we're gonna do Tom Arnold and Friends. I'm gonna come out, do 10 to 15 right away, maybe 20 if I'm feeling it. Bring somebody on. Bring DeLeon. Then I'm gonna come out again, do 5 more if I'm feeling it. Do 10, 12. Then bring Whitney on. Then come out again. And he'd get a full 45 an hour, but you don't have to fucking put him under the radar.
Yeah.
He brings a good show with him, and you still get pieces of Tom Arnold. What, if you're learning stand-up comedy, was that a cannonball?
No, it was a gunshot. The cops are right there.
Where was that a gunshot from?
Right there. See the cops right there?
Across?
Yeah, you see the light?
Yeah. That's where it came from?
Yeah.
Not over there?
No, you didn't see the heat?
No, you saw it?
Yeah, dude. Dude's laying right there.
Why is everyone walking by casually then?
Because they're fucking staring at him.
There's a dead guy there?
I don't think he's dead. He's rolling around.
Where?
You can't see?
No, I see the lights.
Don't worry about it, dude. Mind your business. Keep talking.
What? I hate that mind your business story. When this is...
We're talking about when I slayed and then I dropped the mic and you worried about
someone got shot. I'm sorry if I got distracted. Somebody shot. Wow. Did you not see a fucking blaze go off? Oh, you asshole face.
No, we should have kept it going just for the podcast.
You got me so good. I was looking so hard.
Yeah, it's not easy, dude. You're fucking stoned and drunk.
Yeah, and I'm usually gold to begin with. Yeah, I'm going to go back to Cigar. Where do you got? Anything big coming up, dates-wise?
Where am I at? Next week I'm in Columbus, Funny Bone.
What week is that? The 19th-ish?
The 10th? No, next weekend I'm in... Indianapolis at
Crackers,
and then the week after that.
That's the 12th, 10th, 11th, 12th.
I think so. Yeah.
Okay.
And the week after that, I'm in the Columbus Funny Bone, and the week after that, I'm in Long Island at Governor's.
Nice, Governor's.
Why don't you come do a set, man?
If I'm there,
you'll be there.
It's far out there. I'll come.
Gotham. I'm in Gotham in December.
That I will definitely do.
Yeah,
I would definitely do.
Come through. I love that club. I love Mazzelli.
Yeah.
I love New York too, man. I used to kick it out. Man, back in the day when I was just, before I did comedy.
You would go up there?
I used to hang out in the city all the time. I used
really?
To go clubbing all the time.
Where were you, North Jersey?
I was living in Long Island at the time.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you would go, that would be like, let's
we used go to
the city.
We used to go to Mirage, the Tunnel. Limelight was big. Webster Hall, that was fucking dope.
I just saw Dice's kids at the studio at Webster Hall.
Oh, really?
Yeah, the downstairs, which would be a really cool place to film a special, by the way.
Really?
The studio at Webster Hall, the downstairs. Stage isn't too high, got a lot of chairs in there, but it's a cool rock club venue vibe.
That might have to be the move, man. It's so weird because, like...
It's a cool place. The whole time, like, I was in there looking, I was like, yeah.
And not to be a dick.
Pillars are out of the way, yeah.
But I mean, like, you know, we sell tickets.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
You do pretty good on the road, don't you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But like, you know, we sell tickets because we put the time in, we put the work, you know what I mean? And a lot of times, like, I don't think that matters to, you know, some of the networks. You know what I mean?
Networks.
You know, yeah, stuff
like
most, that.
That's the most politically correct way to say it, to networks.
Because, you know, you look at guys that they eventually come around. You know, they have to. I mean, that's just the point. You just have to kick the door down.
Yeah, but I always heard that, like, Bill Burr didn't really get into the Cellar that much until after he became humongous, and then he got in.
At the Cellar?
Yeah, I mean, he was always in, but he didn't
I know when I shot my half hour, he made a phone call for me. He got me in at the comic strip with just a phone call.
Really?
Yeah.
He got me into the Cellar.
Yeah, like he
but I was saying, like, back in the day, before, like, they didn't use him.
There's very few comics that fit his criteria. And by that, I mean, that are cool as fuck.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Funny as shit. Just a regular dude. You could kick it with him. You know what I mean? Dove Davidoff's like that,
sports.
Too. Dove Davidoff's like that, minus sports. You got
to
get in the philosophy.
Yeah, but the cool thing about Burr is I know that I can just go to him, like, did you see that game seven? How did they let him come back?
Yeah,
he would know that game seven. It's not like, do you follow hockey? No matter what it is, he's going to be like, yeah, I mean, he was on SportsCenter yesterday.
Yeah, he told me one time, he texted me, it's getting so bad, he was watching softball or something. He was missing sports. See, I'm just a football fan, and specifically the Dallas Cowboys.
Yeah.
You know what
I mean? 2-2, man, leading the NFC East.
Yeah, I think Manning's going to carve us up.
Of course he is. That defense can't do shit.
No.
Just give up big plays.
But we could easily go 4-3, I think, before the bye, because we got the Redskins and the Eagles.
Somebody says 7-9 might win that division.
I get fucking definitely.
You think so?
Hey, dude, 8-8 won the fucking Giants the Super Bowl. Wasn't it 8-8 or 9-7?
I think it was 9-7. 8-8 would have gotten the Cowboys in if they had won. They would have been 8-8 tied with the Giants.
Want to hear something crazy?
Yes.
I was at the pool, my girl. There was these kids there at the local high school.
Just bronzing?
Just you know, sunning it up.
Yeah.
And breaking in a new cologne. And
there were these kids there?
And there were these kids. They were like 15. So we were talking, and it's when Romo signed his contract. They played at Agoura Hills High. So we're talking football, and of course I told him I played Division II.
It came up, man.
It came up organically. So I told
him. You guys talking about football? You know, I played Division II. No, we were talking about
high school football, and you know. So then I asked him, I told him I'm a Cowboy fan, and then I immediately followed by saying, but I'm not a bandwagon fan. I've been a fan since I was in the 80s, and you know, we didn't win shit in the 80s.
Yeah.
And the kid looks at me and goes, why would you say bandwagon fan?
Like, why would you even bring it up?
Like I said, because I talked about Romo. I said, yeah, I'm a huge Cowboy fan, even though I'm not a bandwagon fan. I've been a fan since a little kid, since the 80s.
Oh, you mean like, why would you say bandwagon fan? Because they're not a good
team.
Yeah,
he goes, why would you say bandwagon?
I get in the fight with Triple E and T-Ball all the time. And they're like, how convenient the Cowboys. I'm like, we haven't done shit in 10 years.
Yeah, 15, buddy. We haven't won a Super Bowl.
17.
Yeah. But even before that, like, the kid just looked at me like, what? Like, I'm fucking, he has no idea about our history.
Oh, he wasn't around then.
Yeah.
And we were good.
He was born the year we won a fucking Super Bowl.
Yeah. Anybody who says bandwagon, I was like, I was a Cowboy fan in Washington, D.C. when they went 1-15.
I was one in New Jersey, bro. I was in Giants Stadium, and I went to
the In the enemy's territory, just through thick and thin, when the Yankees suck too.
It's easy to be a fucking Cowboy fan in Dallas. Try wearing a jersey at the Vet or fucking RFK.
Almost getting beat up as a 14-year-old going to fucking watch to play the Redskins and dressing head to toe with a cowboy hat, cowboy sweatpants, and a cowboy shirt. And guys like, I'm going to kick your fucking ass.
Dude, I got beer thrown on me. I was on Inside the NFL.
Really?
Yeah, I showed you that, right?
Doing what?
I got it on my computer. I'll show it to you.
Where is it?
I was on Inside the NFL. We were in Giants Stadium. The Cowboys were playing the Giants. It was a Sunday night game.
Yeah.
And they said, hey, kid, turn around. And I was painted up, and I'm screaming, and some guy threw beer on me. That's not on camera, though. But it was just me and my little brother.
First punch. They never catch the first punch.
Never. Never. And that was like 40.
And what happened? What did the little brother show?
We cursed them out, but Cowboys won. That was the last time they won the division until the 90s.
That time they went 1-15. Guess who they beat? Redskins. Guess what they beat them by? 3. And what they lose to them by? 2. They outscored the Redskins, and that's all that mattered.
Who was the quarterback?
Who was the quarterback?
Was
it Aikman?
But he was sharing.
Was it the when he was sharing with Walsh or whatever
Steve
his name
Walsh. Was? Yeah, good call. Who was the running back?
Wasn't Emmett by then, huh?
It was Paul Palmer.
Remember when Babe Loffenberg?
Fucking hate Babe Loffenberg, dude. He ruined it. All he had to do was beat the Falcons or the Eagles, and we would have made the playoffs.
Every year, Babe Loffenberg.
How long are your podcasts usually? You're gonna have to edit.
I don't edit shit.
This is long.
No, this is short.
What's
it out right now?
Fucking 2 hours.
An hour 20. Plus, I put an intro and an outro on it.
How long? People, how many? You got a strong podcast, huh?
Longer the better. They like it.
Yeah?
Why not? I mean, I'm already all done with the subject we talked about. Sometimes I cut them into two. Me and Fitzsimmons talked about two really separate subjects.
He's a fucking cool mm-hmm. dude, man.
Yeah.
He's a cool dude.
I tried getting him on that storyteller show, too.
Yeah. That ain't gonna happen, huh? They don't want to put Fitzsimmons on?
No, it just came down to, like, there's only so many spots. You know?
What are you...
Yeah.
Well, dude, I'm fucking proud of you.
Thanks.
I really am, man.
Yeah.
So cool to see, you know. And it's so
I just like that I could do a thing that I want to look the way I want it to and to be the kind of content I want.
But the thing is, you're kicking in the door. You can't be denied, man.
Yeah.
You know? That's the thing. It's like what Rogan did and Burr and Mark Maron and fucking Carolla. And, you know, these guys... one appearance on Rogan's show is probably worth fucking five Tonight shows.
Yeah, not back in the day, but now Tonight Show.
Definitely.
Now Tonight Show, yeah,
definitely.
Yeah.
See, I embrace
for the amount of people that would actually come to go do a show to see you.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Not like, oh, maybe more people, but more fucking middle-aged housewives. No offense to the cool middle-aged housewives, but like, not some 60-year-old Arkansas woman.
Well, see, that's the thing about the internet. I don't know how to use it, but I embrace it because it allows people to choose.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because if this were 15, 20 years ago, fuck it, man.
Dude, NBC took down Big J's Fallon set because he got in a little slight controversy about Michael Vick. He made some Michael Vick joke.
What did he say?
Yeah. He made a comparison. But he's like, you can't even find it. They took it down off everything, off their Hulu, off everything.
See, that's
and you're like, why? Just dude, nobody will see it unless someone says you should watch this kind of thing.
And you better hope people watch it.
Yeah,
even though Jimmy's awesome, man. Jimmy's, let me tell you, bro, I work with him in Nashville.
It's pretty fun.
We stayed in touch.
That show's gotten pretty
dude,
fun.
Dude, he's fucking cool as shit, naturally funny.
Jimmy Fallon?
Yes.
Yeah.
And so's Kimmel.
Yeah, Kimmel.
Kimmel's great.
Yeah.
He really is.
You know where I fell in love with him? Two things. One was when he came to the fucking roast of Peter Chen. Well, he was consistently in the Ding Dong Show.
He's in Don Barris's camp.
He came a lot to the Ding Dong Show when he
produced Windy City Heat, which in my opinion is one of the funniest fucking movies of all time.
Yeah, yeah. When he was at the roast of Peter Chen, this was two roasts, that and the roast of Carson Daly. When he was like, "Hey, I was going to give my wedding speech to you and Tara Reid when you get married, but you never did it. But I figure I'd give it now." And he gives this long, really emotional speech as this woman in a wedding dress who's playing Tara Reid comes in, just drunk, like, "All right, we're going to do it." Just making out with people, showing her vagina. And he goes, "I just think love overcomes all." Together. But with Peter Chen, he said all this stuff. And then Peter Chen goes back at everybody. You know, it's his turn to go on. And he goes, you know, this guy, just the worst comebacks. And he goes, "And Jimmy Kimmel, you say I a snake? You are a snake." And Jimmy grabs his beer bottle and goes, "I'll fucking kill you!" And just rushes him. That's we separated.
Dude, you know what's great is that being a part of the store, I mean, I don't know how it is now. I mean, of course I'm still there. I come in when I'm...
You know what's good now? Tuesdays and Wednesdays. Because guys like you are on the road all the time.
Yeah, we can come in.
It's like those are the days that more people are actually around.
But man, it was fucking awesome then, man. I was so happy to be a part of Mitzi's, really her last class, you know?
Dom says we turned the Comedy Store around. We made it a cool place to hang out. Sometimes
I agree with that.
It was all full of bitterness and anger. Frankie Pace people that were just like, why are you all so angry and fighting?
Then you got like, all right, listen to the roster. The guys that were there from the beginning and through. Sebastian, Renazizi. Mm-hmm. Caparulo. Then you had Al Madrigal, you know, came in there, helped build it up.
Renazizi.
We said Renazizi.
Oh, yeah.
Ran out of people. Yeah.
Yep, that's it. That's Simone.
No, Steve Simone.
Taylor and Yusuf.
Ian Edwards.
Kevin Christie.
Dave Taylor. You said Dave Taylor.
Yeah, just making it a fun, nice place to be around.
Maj Jabrani.
Maj Jabrani, the foreign comic.
Yeah, Ahmed Ahmed.
Yeah, when Dice was around filming those things, and we're all just like a family there.
Uh-huh.
Even Freddie.
Dice was there. Freddie Soto.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, Rogan, Diaz.
But Freddie was one of the older guys who was like not bitter, not angry, and was like helpful.
Dude, Freddie
so
was
he helped influence
fucking
people.
Unbelievable, man.
Yeah, just helping people.
Dude, he was unbelievable. He really was. I'm not just saying that because he died, man. Me and Sebastian would come in and watch him at 1 o'clock in the morning
on stage,
and just fucking own it.
Yeah,
fucking own it.
He didn't care. He'd move slow.
That's my pet peeve.
Yeah, he was so good at that. It just like casual. light up a cigarette. Hey man, you got a lighter?
Davidoff, Brian Callen.
Those guys all came later.
No,
Dove and Callen.
No, Byrne was there from.
No, Byrne was one of the later. He was the next stage of people. He came from New York.
Yeah, but he was there in 03.
Yeah.
I mean, he was there.
That's what I'm thinking. Yeah. It was like 3 years later or something.
I mean,
like
he wasn't there when it was fucking dead. But, you know, he helped build it, man. He was there in like, he moved out to L.A. in, like, 04 or something like that.
Yeah. He brought a lot of people in. Byrne was the bridge. That's why I see him as the bridge. He brought in Dove and he brought in Callen.
Oh, Chris D'Elia. Whitney.
Well, he's later.
Whitney Cummings.
Yeah. But those guys all started there.
Old school, yeah.
Started there. Not started, but in their start, they were there.
Well, I mean, I didn't start there either. I did comedy for three years. That's where you grew. It's like, yeah, everybody played their high school football somewhere, but, you know, it's Notre Dame that made Joe Montana. You know what I'm saying?
I guess so.
But it was a cool part. It was a cool place to be a part of. Oh, Jeff Richards, Bobby Lee.
Duncan. Yeah. Oh, yeah, Bobby Duncan. See, I consider those guys
Fox.
More. That's later.
No, Kirky's there. Dude, you're thinking that's later. Wasn't that later, man? I'm talking that whole Dublin's era. Because I came in 2000. That's when I got
passed. 2000. 2000,
yeah, but
2003.
I'm saying, I didn't get spots for... I got one spot.
Yeah, but just around. They were always around. Christian Harloff and Ellis.
Yeah, Christian Mark Ellis.
The people that were always around. And Rick Ramos. People aren't around anymore, but like they were all there then. And then people started getting added.
What's his name?
Who?
Lucas.
Yeah, Jason Lucas. Yeah.
Tebow.
I'm just riffing. He would say the same shit every fucking Sunday. Like, I'm just riffing. No, you're not. You're not riffing.
How are we forgetting the greatest, Brian Holtzman?
Oh, yeah. Like, he was there before him.
I wish I had money. I would have, oh, my God, I would do something with that guy.
Yeah, I wonder.
Just film just something. Just put a camera in the back when he doesn't know it's on him, and just watch that fucking genius.
You should just have it on him every night. And then just when he gets used to having it on, to where you just never say anything to him, just capture those magical sets.
Then you had the crossovers too, the Paula Bells, the Jimmy Schuberts.
Yeah.
That were like, you know.
Mainstays, Campaneras, and then.
Campanera.
Sort of, yeah.
I said Joe Diaz.
Yeah, yeah.
Freddie, we said Freddie. It was a fucking awesome time.
Aaron
Cater.
I used to think, he started with me. I used to think Campanera and Schubert were the same person. And they were always on the road, so they're never there together.
I
didn't understand.
It was like Richard Jenny and Kevin Pollak. I always got them confused.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're like the same, but they're...
Richard Jenny's the one who no longer does hacky jokes.
He was never hacky.
No, I'm joking.
Well, what do you want to do? It's 9-something.
Yeah, let's go out. You want to call it?
Let's go hit the town.
All right, you said where you're going to be, right? The dates? Where can people find you on the internet? You on Twitter ever?
I got my podcast up.
You're starting a podcast.
Sixth episode.
You started a podcast.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
Six episodes, man. We were featured on New and Noteworthy.
Noteworthy. Oh, that's awesome, man.
It's me and this kid, Pete Giovanni. You know Petey?
Nope. Sounds ethnic, though.
Very ethnic. Yeah. No, he's actually not. He is, but he's not. I mean, he's Italian. But yeah, we're up. Go to BrettErnst.com.
What's it called? What's the podcast called?
Brett Ernst.
Brett Ernst.
I call it another fucking podcast.
It's another. What did you find on iTunes?
Just go to Brett Ernst. BrettErnst. You can't miss it. It's a Run DMC sign.
One T.
Yeah, one T.
Oh, really?
And then go to BrettErnst.com. Find me on Twitter.
What's your Twitter?
BrettErnst. BrettErnst. One T.
Do they have any male modeling shots they can see of you? You're one of the better looking comedians.
You know what? It's funny, man. I used to do that shit back in the day.
Really?
I did something for Hugo Boss, and I was on the cover of Fitness Plus magazine.
Were you really?
Yeah, I think dudes jerked off to me.
You're a Guido. Like, you really are. When I see you dancing out there to old school hip hop or rock and roll, and then just dancing with like five people around by a blasting at the car door open.
Relax, I'm not a Guido.
Bronzed up. What is it then? What is that thing? What is the thing that you do?
I'm half a Guido.
Okay. You're Guidish. Like the things you do that are Guido.
Listen, man, that's the shit that I grew up around. You know? But like I said, I grew up around mostly brothers.
Yeah.
I mean, I got a lot of Italian friends. Most of my friends, if you saw my friends growing up, it was black, Italian, and a couple of Jews sprinkled in, and then some Spanish kids. We looked like a fucking, like, Color Me Bad. It was like this really ambiguous, how South Florida is.
Do you take the wrapper off when you get nearby it?
Yeah, you could take it down.
Is that what you're
supposed to? Just scoot it down a little.
Oh.
Buddy, you know what I'm happy about besides that I'm fucking drunk as shit and we're hanging out and it's beautiful Mexico?
What?
We got a fucking these things you could sell probably in the States. You could
they're
get
good,
them for
man.
100 a stick.
I've never had them like this. These are really good and smooth.
This is Cuban. You can't get these
wow.
in America.
And we were positive we got robbed.
Mm-hmm.
But it was like at some point I was like, dude, it's $40. We've lost a total of 40.
I was let's about just to pay $50 for one of these. And we got five for $40.
Wow. Go for the stolen.
Dude, yeah,
they
fuck
didn't,
yeah.
They didn't steal from America.
We stole from Cuba.
No,
fucking
probably
communists.
A Mexican store. They stole.
Communists. Where's Hard Rock? We got to go to the Hard Rock. Oh, you can get my album, American Comic.
There you go. That's
iTunes.
A good thing to promote. American Comic.
On iTunes, yeah.
With a cartoon cover, right?
Yeah. Guy named Greg Horn drew it. He's a Marvel comic book cover artist.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, I've known him a long time.
What's it called again?
American Comic.
American Comic. I almost forgot. This weed is not terrible. I guess.
Is it good?
No, but I've had my second beer too, and the cigar. It's all three of them get me like where the one with that half a joint should have gotten me.
Is that one joint? Are you done with it now?
No, I only went halfway through it. It kept going out in the wind. I would have really.
Do you have more
going.
In the room?
Uh huh.
Good boy.
Yeah, of course. That's what you tell girls.
What's the hardest drug you've ever done?
The hardest drug?
Yeah.
It's weed in Alaska because you can't find any.
No,
I'm sorry. I was trying to make a joke. I couldn't think of a better reference. The hardest drug I've done, I did like real small amounts of coke two times.
Now, why would you do that?
Super peer pressure.
Yeah.
Where the first time was a girl. She was one
that
of the...
Now, dude, pussy's the greatest yeah. fucking reason for
that's
anything.
Why Jim Painter relapsed. He just got sick of telling...
There, everybody. That's somebody we forgot to talk about.
Yeah,
holy
yeah.
shit. Where's he at now?
He was...
This kid used to...
I gotta do a podcast with him.
He used to get so upset because the crowd didn't like him. Like, he would... And I go, dude, you can't be on the fence.
You can't care. But he did. He couldn't not care.
He would say the most horrendous shit and kill...
Sometimes. One out of eight times he would kill.
But I'm saying because it's a specific type of humor.
And they would always tell him, we already got a Holtzman. But he's like, well, I'm just doing what I do. I'm sorry if I'm like another guy.
But he would care that the audience
yeah,
didn't like him.
He would care.
But he would do everything for the audience
because
not to like
if they didn't like him, Tommy would bump him further and further back. So he had to like, oh, this is fucking up my spot.
Yeah.
Yeah, Painter. He was the biggest influence on all of us.
Well, for you guys.
Yeah, for my, yeah.
Do you remember the move I did for you guys?
What was
that? With the porn stars?
What was that move?
I had a girlfriend at the time, and these porn stars wanted to, you know, fuck. And I wouldn't fuck them because I had a girl.
Yeah.
So I passed them on to Painter and you guys in the remember and Skippy?
Oh, that's right. And they all took them somewhere.
Yeah.
Yeah, they had like a seven-way.
Yeah, it was, but not that I would have fucked them anyway.
Something crazy. Oh, I think you would have if the seven-way went down.
Listen to me. Okay, yeah. Here's the one thing. I said I run my game tight, but I'm very, very picky when it comes to things.
Oh, really? You won't go for
it? I don't know. I don't know. I mean, especially if I have a girl, I wouldn't do it.
Oh, right.
You know what
I really?
Mean? Yeah. I'm not that guy. I know people can make fun of me all they want, but I don't like doing that, man. I
just tell the girl.
I like holding a girl's hand without guilt.
Oh, right.
And there's some people that have no guilt. I can't do that.
All the better then.
Yeah,
either way.
Yeah, God bless
done.
You. I'm not judging you.
Yeah.
But
I wish you had. I wish I had that.
I can't. It's not my thing.
So, yeah, I've done coke a couple times. Like, I'm talking about pen cap and then half of the pen cap and then like tapped off twice. Once with the girl and then once with like, just do it with all these older comics. Finally, like, fine, leave me alone. Barely felt anything either time. It was such a small amount.
Let me ask you this.
What? Scared of coke.
You see how high strung I am?
Uh-huh.
What do you think I'd be like on that shit? Especially when I was younger.
Oh, I hate coke on people.
Dude, I would be fucking horrible.
I'm not advising you to do coke.
Now, weed is something I should have done.
Yeah.
That would have kept me calm, but it could have...
I'd take the oof away from that.
You take what?
I take the oof away from that and just say weed is something you should do.
Oh, not now.
Why not?
Because I'm chill now.
What?
I'm not as high strung.
Oh, right. Oh, back then. Yeah, it would have chilled you out then.
Dude, I felt like...
Back then, if we're like, hey, we can keep talking, Brett, but just smoke this three times and then we keep talking.
I always felt claustrophobic. I always felt like everything was closing in on me.
When you smoke weed?
No, I never smoked
you
it.
Never
I'm talking
smoked
about
weed.
In life. Like when that's why I would get so, like, I can't explain it, man. My mind would go 100 miles an hour. I'd talk hard. I didn't want to, Like, I just, it would fucking get too much. And then it's like an overload.
Would somebody please give Brett a good joint of weed so you can smoke in the hotel room or by yourself one day when you're on the road?
But see, here's my problem, dude.
And just listen to Black Sabbath.
I would do it. I still listen to Black Sabbath, but I would do it every fucking day. I'm one of those guys. Yeah, but I it's not good for me.
It's why?
I'd get crazy, man.
What do you mean?
Dude, the line between reality and fantasy is blurred for us anyways, and I would get so high. I don't know.
You would get super high.
I'm like
fun.
A fucking stoner now. Yeah. I eat Fruity Pebbles at odd hours at night.
It would be so much
still
delicious
for you. I sleep
till
like 2 in the afternoon. It takes a lot for me to get shit done.
Yeah.
You know,
errands are way more fun.
Do you even do errands?
Yeah. Dude, there's a new type of stoner. You're talking about the stoner that was an 18-year-old stoner. That was the Spicoli stoner.
Right.
It was a 23-year-old stoner.
Everybody
gets this thing where instead of munching a lot, you just don't munch a lot. You just know not to do that.
But I'm saying when you do that, it's not a trend. Isn't it a chemical reaction?
But as you get older, you just react to it differently. Like, you know, you can have a few beers now. You don't have to get into a fight. You just feel
nice.
If
I ever
drunk.
Smoke weed, we'll do it on your podcast.
Okay.
All right.
Well, here's a joint, and we're on my podcast, and you're in a country where it's not illegal, and they can't try you for this in America. I cannot think of a better time for you to try weed than right now.
That ain't going to happen, though.
But if you think about where it could happen.
This would be it.
You would have to think this would be the most acceptable.
This is the same pitch you gave me when you wanted me to blow you. It's the same fucking pitch you gave me when you wanted to figure my ass.
I'm just saying we know there's no cameras here. That's all I was saying. We knew there were no cameras.
You're a predator. You're a fucking predator.
Well, all right, Brett.
It's 9:38. Let's go do something, buddy.
Yeah, let's go.
We'll come back here at the end.
All right. Thanks for listening, everybody.
Yeah, go to BrettErnst.com.
Go to BrettErnst.com and go see any of those dates. Columbus, Indianapolis.
Indianapolis next weekend. Columbus the weekend after that. And I don't know the dates offhand. And then I'm in Long Island.
In Long Island.
Like the 26th or 27th.
This is all October. So if you're
all
October,
October
go to check those places. Okay.
Bye.
Bye. Once again. Try to see things my way. Hey. Only time will tell if I am right or I am wrong. Ah. While you see it your way, hey. Last chance that we might fall apart before too long. We can work it out. We can work it out. Boom time. That's the episode, everybody. Thank you for tuning in. This episode was brought to you by Squarespace. Don't forget to check out squarespace.com. Could be /RA, but I don't know if they do that anymore. But offer code STONE, STONE, and you get 10% off your entire purchase. Seriously, you guys, you need a website, and Squarespace is the easy way to build one. They have award-winning customer support. They're coming up with constant new platforms and designs so you can make your website look exactly like you want to. They have mobile designs. So I'm like one of like three comics who have mobile versions of their website. And by the way, if you want to use my... Yeah, anyway, go to my website. They have mobile stuff you can use. So you need that because most people, like half the people look at stuff from their phones. And 24/7 support. You can actually talk to a real person like me. If you're scared of these things and you want support, it helps. So go to squarespace.com, enter offer code STONE, get 10% off, free trial, free domain name if you buy a 1-year trial, and just use it, everybody. It's a way to support this podcast for them supporting me. So thank you, Brett Ernst, for talking to us. It's interesting how people have different like argument styles. What I found is a lot of people can win arguments by bum-rushing people, by talking over them, win debates, but... It's not really a way to find the truth. I know a few people who really like to like raise their voice and growl when they're talking. And you'll get people to stop arguing with you. But you really won't get into an honest discussion. I mean, the way to get into an honest discussion is, well, if somebody's like, let's say, okay, just case in point. My case in points are always terrible. But let's say case in point. Somebody says, well, weed is bad for you. Now, I could say, no, it's not. You're an idiot. Weed's never been caused to be bad by anybody. There's multiple studies. This study's proven not. And I could just talk over you until you go, all right, I guess. But you're still going to be left thinking weed is bad for you. and you're just going to really tune out my arguments. But there's other ways to phrase those arguments, like, is weed bad for you? Because I know me and my friends have only become more successful as we smoke more pot. And in what ways? And then say, like, in what ways have you seen that it's bad for you? And then if they say, well, your lungs, go, true, it's a carcinogen, but such a small amount. If anyone smokes 2 joints a day, that's a tremendous amount. Whereas 10 to 15 cigarettes is pretty average. If they say, you know, you say like, well, in what ways is it bad for you? It's actually proven to reduce Alzheimer's and I don't know, whatever else they say. But you can slowly have a discussion with someone instead of bum rushing them with an argument. And I think that's when it gets to a really annoying conversation. And you'll see sort of that version in the bonus episode on Thursday or possibly Friday, but maybe Thursday. It's just when you throw years and numbers at people, references they've never heard of, you're like, all right. That's just not a way to convince someone. It's just a way to, for you to feel that you're not wrong. So, I don't know. Think about the ways you're discussing things with people and decide whether or not you want them to be wrong or you want them to understand your point. And also whether or not you are open to the details of everyone else's point. I mean, look at Obamacare. Like, it's socialism. Like, okay, but now you have to explain to me what socialism is and why it's bad for us rather than just yell, it's socialism. And then you'd be like, all right. And you'd be like, oh, it's not socialism? You don't think it's like this? And you could be like, I don't know. Yeah, okay, I guess it's socialism. But I'm still left thinking, I don't know. It seems like everyone in America should be offered health care. It's funny listening to Brett Ernst. He's always like, America's number one. And when you stop, we did it in the bonus episode where I'm like, in what way are we number one? Education? No, we're not top 50. I mean, that's just, I mean, you know, studies proving we're not. Foreign, whatever the word is, clearly, again, education's not working. Healthcare, we pay more than any other country and we get less for it than almost any other first world country. We have more gun violence than most other countries. I'm just not sure what way we're better. When people say we're the best country, I'm like, in what way? Lack of poverty? Possibly. That nearly 1% of our entire population is imprisoned? Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, that was the episode. Please make sure to go to my website to check out all my dates, arishafir.com. And my sports podcast, Punch Drunk, got to a new studio. And if you guys don't know, if you've lost us, we're not at Punch Drunk on iTunes anymore. We're at Punch Drunk Sports. And it's in the sports section, not the comedy section, because Chipley wanted to be ranked. And there's way less funny sports podcasts. And he's so addicted to being ranked. So check us out, Punch Drunk Sports on iTunes. We got a new website, punchdrunksports.net, where we have multiple people writing columns. We have a forum. And we should hopefully go live with me on Skype again this Tuesday, noon to 2 Pacific time, 3 to 5 New York time. Do the rest of the math in your head. And yeah, it's a fun podcast. You guys should check it out. We've been doing it for like a couple years now. Punch Drunk Sports. It's like 25% sports, 75% comics being ridiculous with each other and talking shit about non-sports related things. All right, you guys, that's it. Thank you for tuning in. Thank you for telling people to subscribe. Until next week, I've recorded 3 podcasts. This one is released, and then one with Kevin Christie and Nick Youssef for their new podcast coming up. One with Juan Carlos Alvarado on poker and Black Friday. And hopefully I'll get one with Neil Brennan this week before I go. I got to have them saved up before I go to Australia because I don't know if I'll be able to find anybody. Unless I can do a podcast with a dango. What are the mushrooms like in Australia, you guys? All right, you guys. And if you send anything to my mailbox address that's on my website, just know that I won't be there to get it till November. So don't send any perishables till then. Thank you guys for tuning in. Ari Shaffir, Skeptic Tank, episode 135. Over and out. And I want to do another podcast with Jeff Danis and Ryan O'Neill. Hopefully when I'm in LA for the week after Australia. Maybe I'll do it then. Deliverance was one of the best podcasts I've done, the funniest ones. Episode 100 with 2 guys you don't know, but just listen because it's absolutely hilarious.
Harsh vs. Skeptic, episode 135, over and out. Enjoy this playout music.
Shut up! 50 years ago, you had your own pipe down with a fucking fork up your ass. You can talk your brain down with a fucking hose ass out. He's a nigger. He's a nigger! He's a nigger! A nigger looks like a nigger!
The color of my skin, content of my character, dream of a king's been a nightmare for anyone white with a badge or anyone slightly affected by the tie to this race that I'm running in. Part of me, y'all, the racist I run against, the race war when it's us against all of them. They subconsciously low talk, listen, probably all think it's Kramer dead still but won't talk. Get me first off, I ain't trying to be conscious, speaking heart with a conscience, talking to you. This dark content for those of dark complex, who's X off rip, who gon' listen to us, who gon' speak for us, who gon' plead for us, who gon' be the head NIC for us, who gon' defend us from crooked police on us. I'm just an insecure N-I-G earn. Please listen to me. But if I did, what would be the difference? I'd still be a nigga, he'd still be a nigga in his feelings. I'd still be a nigga with no deal, try and get one. There'd still be niggas out killing, and still be white people still out to get us, and still be niggas out whites trying to get us, and still be lazy and paranoid niggas. A paramount nigga I am, and you can't be mad cause I choose the word nigga. Let me earn out, nigga. Nigga ain't bad, see, niggas just had a clever idea to take something they said into something we have, something we flipped into something with swag. Nigga, don't be mad. Bitches ain't shit, but women ain't bitches. See, women are the queens, and bitches just bitches. And bitches say bitch like bitch is not offensive. When niggas say bitch, all of a sudden they offended. And niggas say nigga to a nigga, a nigga write nigga in the lyric. Expect the white boy to omit it. The white boy spit it like he spit it. Recite it to his friends who, by the way, ain't niggas. And say nigga, 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 my favorite rapper did it. And our nigga friends got it with him. Incorporate this lyric to their everyday living. Until a black friend kinda heard just a tippet. He thinks I'll forget it. It's so insignificant and little. The white boy sees this as a clearance. Now it's nigga, nigga, nigga. Every single day. And that little nigga, nigga, think it's okay. And he the only nigga in this particular grade. And it begins to phase him more each day. The things they say went a little too far. He couldn't tell the difference between an A or E-R. So they just keep going, saying nigga in his face. There's nothing he can do, he let it get away. It came to the point he couldn't look him in the face. The mirror made him Earl, his reflection disgraceful. Yeah, and make sure everything you say can't be held against you in any kind of way. In any connotation is viewed many ways. Cause under every nigga there's a little bit of Kramer. Self-hatred, I hate you and myself. Niggas!
I lost my temper on stage. I was at a comedy club trying to do my act, and I got heckled, and I took it badly and went into a rage. And said some pretty nasty things to some Afro-Americans, a lot of trash talk. For this to happen, for me to be in a comedy club and flip out and say this crap, you know, I'm deeply, deeply sorry.